first of all, I want to express the Acharya Stotra Sanatana Sriman Abhijanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharshi Prabhupada ki
jai.
Jayam Nitrida Pravishta Kshupada Paramahamsa Paribraja Acharya Stotra Sanatana Sriman Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharshi Prabhupada ki
jai.
Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda ki
jai.
Ramacharya Sri Sri Krishna Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinada Shyamakunda Radha Mudigiri Govardhani Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Madhuravuri Dham Ki Varagavuri Dham Ki All glories to Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Mushupadai, Krishna Prasai, Gurudare, Srimade, Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Prajarini, Vishesha Shunyavadi, Shakti Sagarini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Samsara Sagare Magnam Dinam Mam Karunanidhe Karma Graha Grihidangam Amudhara Bhavarnaval. Shri Mal Bhagavadakyoyam Pratyaksha Krishnamevahi Svigrado Simayanadha Muktyartam Bhavasagare Manuhurathe Madiyoyam Saphala Sarvadatvaya Nurvigne Neiva Kartavyam Dasoham Davakeshava Bhave Bhave Yadha Bhakti Padayor Savajayate Tatha Kurushva Devesha Nathastvanno Yada Prabho Nama Sangirtanam Yasya Sarva Baba Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanatam Namami Harim Param Janmadhyasaya Donvayadi Daradas Chateshva Pityaswara Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigavaye Mukhyandi El Suraya Tejo Varimrdam Yatha Vinimayo Yatratri Sargo Mrusha Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastha Guhagam Satyam Param Dhimahi Dharma Projida Gaida Votra Paramo Normal Saranam Sadam Vedyam Vastava Matravastu Shivadam Tabatrayun Mulanam Srimad Bhagavade Mahamunikrade Kimba Pareiri Shvere Sadhyo Hridya Varudya Detra Kritubi Shishru Shubhi Talkshanal Negamakalpadar Orgalidam Phalam Shukamukhata Murgadrava Samyudam Pipada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Hurahore Siga Bhubi Bhavukaha Sachidananda Rubaya, Shol Patyadi Hedavi, Tavatraya Vinashaya, Shri Krishna Ayavayam Mama, Yam Prabrajanda Manupetam Apeta Kritiam, Vivayano Virahakada Ramanchuhava, Putreti then Maida Yataravo Binidu, Tam Sarva Buddha Hridayam Munimana Dosmi, Yaswanu Bhava Makila Shudisara Megam, Adhyatma Deepam Aditi Tirshadam Tamantham, Samsari nam karunayaha purana guhyam tam vyasasunam upayami gurum muninam. Narayanam namaskritya naram jaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayamudhirayel. Kamaniya kishore mukta mukte kalavenu konidadradana nendoho. Mama vaji vijrambada murare madhurimna kanika vikapikapi. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminidhi Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarine Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshadarine Srimal Guru Charanaravindabhyam Nama Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padare Numabhishnasha
വ്യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയെ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുതീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പ്യവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ്ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമലപ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സോ ദിസ് 24 സ്പിരിച്വൽ മാസ്റ്റേഴ്സ് what we are discussing now is a part of the Atmatattvam, how to get to the closer to the soul. There's a lot of obstructions in our path in spiritual life, and constantly reflecting on these spiritual masters, these 24 spiritual masters, it is one of the best topics in the Bhagavatam for mananam, these 24 spiritual masters. When you feel that you are not feeling much of a spiritual consciousness, if you take these 24 spiritual masters and reflect on them again and again, it will strengthen inside and you will start seeing the light, that whatever the darkness that is coming inside us, it will be removed by the mananam or reflection on these 24 spiritual masters. That is the benefit. We'll go through this and you'll see how each one of those spiritual masters, like we saw so far in this time, we have seen Prithvi, Earth, and Vayu, Agasham, three we have seen. So look at this way, as we saw before, that Agasham, or Agasham means space. Through Agasham, the Dattatreya Maharshi is saying here that the Agasham He is present everywhere. He is present everywhere. And he also says, consciousness is like that, present everywhere. Agasham is present everywhere. In the same way, consciousness is also present everywhere. And we have got inside, outside, like we say inside our body or outside the body. So inside, outside we have got. Agasham doesn't have that. There is no inside or outside. And the same thing applies to consciousness also. Consciousness doesn't have inside or outside. It's present everywhere. Right? So basically what Maharshi is saying is that this vastu, which is present everywhere in the form of consciousness, is one vastu, that is, and but it is manifesting everywhere, and at the same time it cannot be broken. We think it is broken, just like consciousness is present everywhere, and that consciousness is present inside us as well. When you get a body, what happens is it breaks that consciousness. You at least you feel like that. The consciousness has been broken and we all become feeling individuals. Individual consciousness comes in there. So, the Tathagata Maharshi's point is, just like consciousness can, the space cannot be broken. Suppose if you put a pot here. In the pot, inside there is space, outside there is space. Once the pot is broken, space is one. There is no two spaces then anymore. So, when the pot is there, you feel that there is two spaces, one inside and one outside. In the same way, in this gross body also, you feel as though soul is inside us individually and outside soul is separately existing. It is not like that. That is what he is saying here. What he is pointing out is this, that consciousness cannot be broken. This you will see when you go further and further, Krishna will keep stressing this point very strongly, that there is no separate consciousness. There is only one consciousness which is present everywhere. And to stress that point only, that in the beginning about Sukadeva Goswami said, Sarvabhuta Hridayam Muni Manadosmi. He is present everywhere in everyone. So, that is that. So, he said this you have to learn from the space. But the problem is, you can only hear these things about the sky, about the space, and you have to hear that, but to realize it is not possible for us in our present situation, right? The reason for that is to know that it is one consciousness present everywhere. We will not be able to get it. We won't feel it because we are identifying very strongly with our body. And we are living like that, in that consciousness, that I am this body. And as long as I am living like that, I am this body, therefore we won't be able to experience it. This is the problem. This is the problem. That's the first thing that Tathagata Maharshi is saying here. That so long as you are thinking that you are this body, which we are thinking all the time, and we are so strongly established in the body, that when they say this, that you are not this body, your one consciousness is existing everywhere, we cannot grasp it. We cannot accommodate that within ourselves. It's a problem, isn't it? It's very nicely analyzed in this, because he says here, When you look at these spiritual masters, these 24 spiritual masters, in some places it will show you a mood of renunciation and detachment. In some places they will show like that. In some other places it will tell you about giving attention to the consciousness. One consciousness present everywhere. That consciousness is addressed as Brahman, Ishvara, Krishna, all different names given, but it is this one consciousness they are pointing at, present in everything. Ishvara Bhava, that is called, right? Or the power, the supreme power, which is present everywhere. So, two things they are showing simultaneously. On the one side, it will show the renunciation and detachment from everything. On the other side, it will also tell you about this one consciousness present in everything. So, and this nityam anityam, temporary and permanent things, when they point out, when it is spoken in the Bhagavatam about the temporary things, like this material body, material world, all these are temporary things. And then it talks about a permanent thing called a consciousness. We can capture that. That is not so difficult. Because we see that with our senses, isn't it? Body is degenerating and body is going one day. Similarly, everything is changing in the world. The world is going also. So that is temporary. And permanent thing is a consciousness away inside that exists forever, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita from the beginning. So that difference, temporary and permanent, when they talk about it, we can understand that. We find it easy to connect with that. But when it talks about a consciousness existing everywhere, we are not able to realize it. You see the problem? Then when we talk about temporary things and permanent things, the differences, and when they tell you to take your attention away from the temporary things, we can accommodate that. We can accept that. That is not so difficult because we understand that everything is temporary here. Body is temporary, world is temporary, all relationships are temporary, everything is temporary here. So we must be focused on the permanent one, that is spiritual life. When they say that, it is possible to accept it. It is not so difficult because people understand because their senses, they tell you that. But at the same time, when you talk about the soul and consciousness, we find it difficult to accept it. Because we don't know what that is, how to connect with it. We are not able to connect with the soul. That is the problem, right? So you can keep on talking about it, but it won't get inside us. So therefore, the answer to that is that when we come to this situation, that there is sufficient detachment inside, vairagyam comes in, or virakti, that comes in, and when we get, only when that vairagyam becomes very intense inside, only then we will get free from this concept what we have now. What is that? I am thinking something which I am not, but I am thinking I am that, this body. Actually, I am not this body, but I am completely fixed in this concept that I am this body. So, if I want to get free from this ignorance, the vairagyam has to become very intense inside. And this applies to everybody, every sampradaya, it doesn't matter. Even when the six Goswamis, when they came from Bengal to Vrindavanam, the renunciation they have shown is unbelievable. None of them had any place to stay. No accommodation, nothing. Every night they were living under a tree. And they were, at that time, because it is after the Goswami's arrival in Vrindavan that they have found out these Leela places, Krishna's past places where Krishna's pastimes happened. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent them to Vrindavanam to find out all the places of where Krishna's pastimes happened. So when they were traveling, because they had no place to stay, first of all, Rupa Goswami came, then Sanatana Goswami joined, and then Jiva Goswami came, and Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Gopal Bhatta, they all came later. But none of them had any place to stay. They were living underneath the tree most of the times. And because there were no houses like today in Vrindavanam at that time, they had to go to Mathura to asking for begging for their food. And from Mathura, normally sannyasis beg for only for that particular day when they want to eat. When they had enough, they will not ask for any more. But because the distance was so far to go, they had to collect it for food and roti or whatever, they brought it back. And they used to dig apparently in the sand, in the river bank, and store this inside the food. and cover it with the sand. And then as and when they felt very difficult to, could not bear the hunger anymore, they took out the roti from the sand and then ate it with some salt and drank some water from the Yamuna river. Such was the intense austerities they had. All of them were highly renounced in that way. All the Goswamis were. So when the Vairagyam comes very strongly inside, that is when you start realizing that I'm not this body. That is a symptom of that. That Vairagyam intensifies inside us. That only then you can experience that I'm not this body. It is not easy to know that. When we are very comfortably situated in life, with plenty of prasadam, good place to sleep, and life is very comfortable, if somebody tells you are not this body, we will not take any serious note of it. So that is why this is implied in these discussions about these 24 spiritual masters. When you do the mananam of the 24 spiritual masters, from what do you learn from Dattatreya? Dattatreya was like this. That no attachment anywhere, completely came out of the body like this, through Vairagyam. So when you come to that, one consciousness is present everywhere, will be experienced at that time. And also you realize it, at that time you realize that what I am thinking now about myself, that I am this, I am that, all kinds of identities, that is a Brahmam. We come to know that it is a Brahmam. Because actually, like the space which is present everywhere, consciousness is also present everywhere, and I am that consciousness. And that is this Aham Brahmasmi state, what we call later on what Parikshit was realizing. This Aham Brahmasmi state is that extreme renunciation happened, and at that moment this knowledge went in, and then he realized it. So, Atma Bhavam. And like in the space, when there is a wind, when the wind is present, clouds are present there, and the space get covered by all that. But actually, these clouds don't create any problem for the space. They come and they go. They cannot contaminate the space. They cannot contaminate the space. So, no problems happens because of that. Similarly, the time that is moving this world all the time, and due to that influence of the time, we will have different experiences in this world, in our life here. But none of those experiences, so-called experiences what we have in this world, is touching me. That is Dattatreya Maharshi is saying, he has come to that understanding that kalam, time, is moving this world every day in one way or the other. It's going. And in that process, a lot of experiences are coming to me in my life. But none of those experiences are actually touching me. They come and they go. It has no more connections. That's what he's saying here. That look at the 43rd verse. Tejo bannamayer bhavir meghadhir vayu neeritai naspriśyade namastadval kalasrishtair gunai puman. That is the 7th chapter in the 11th canto, verse 43. Tejasa tejo abannamaye agni jalam annam. Fire, water, and annam, food. All these are the different transformations of the same consciousness in different forms, right? So, and due to existence of these three elements, these three things, Agni, Jalam, Annam, those three things, and it is there, due to their presence, the Sharira Dharmam will change. Shariram, body, its dharmam keeps changing, right? And also, due to them, presence of these elements and annam food, our gross body and the subtle body may have some effect. when the heat, the cold, similarly Agni inside the body, the fire element, what is inside, which is the cause of our body temperature, digestion, everything. Due to all that, changes may happen to the gross body, and it may have some effect on the subtle body also. But due to that, nothing is happening to me. The Tatra Maharshi is saying, you have to realize it, he says. We can't even hope that at the moment, isn't it? Little disturbance in the body is affecting us. Small changes in the temperature, we keep on the thermostat up and down to adjust the temperature so we are comfortable. So that is how far we are in the body, where we are. The Tatra Maharshi is saying here that Agni Jalam, fire and water, and the food what you take in, Annam, all these three things have some effect on your gross body and the subtle body. So when they are affecting the gross and subtle bodies, we have to realize that it is not affecting me, it's only affecting the body. To that extent, we have to be free from the gross and subtle bodies. That's what he's saying here. And then he says here, he's talking about, I learned this from the space. All these lessons he learned from the space. So this is how Prithvi, Vayu, Agasham. The Agasham has become a guru for him. He has observed all these things in the Agasham and found out that this is what it is. Now, if you look at the 24 spiritual masters, the first five are five material elements, isn't it? Earth, water, air, ether and fire, the five material elements. Now, it is important to know, or it's interesting to know, how come that we never took all these things seriously? Prithvi, Vayu, Agasham, even though we have heard about it, and it is still not having any effect on us. Like the way it affected the Dattatreya. It's not affecting us. We are still going on as we are. And theoretically we have understood what he is saying, but it's staying like that. And then after that comes two other spiritual masters, Sun and the Moon. Sun and the Moon. And from there also we are learning quite a few things, right? So, the reason is, why it doesn't have any effect on us? The reason for that is the eighth spiritual master is teaching us a lesson. And that is what is the reason for this. Eighth is the Kapotam. Kapotam Kapodi. That Kapotam Kapodi story, if you properly reflect, yeah, what it is teaching us, you will know at that time. And that what it is teaching us is responsible for us not able to take notice of the effect of these 7 months. That is why this seventh chapter finishes with that Kapotam Kapodi story. You start wondering how Sugar Brahmarshi found out all these things. He is a brahmachari, supposed to be a brahmachari. But the way he talks about this Kapotam Kapodi story, it really hits everyone when they read that. And even the opinion of the many great devotees on this is that Kapotam Kapodi story in this 24 is so powerful that when you analyze it, you will know that you were never able to give any attention to anything else in this world. The first five material elements or sun or the moon, we never thought about them any time because like Kapotam Kapodi, we were so absorbed in our family life. That's what it is saying here. We'll come to that later. So the next one out of these five material elements, Prithvi, Vayu, Agasham, then Avam. Avam is water. Water is concerned, he said here, that Swachha Prakriti, Prakritida Snigdho, Madhuja Tirtha, Tirtha Bhur Nanam, Muni Punatyavam Mitra, Ichobas Prashagirtanehi. So naturally the water has this qualities pure and sweet and snigdham. And it's also able to purify. Water is a source of purification for everything, isn't it? We need water for purifying. Similarly, he's saying here, properly, Muni should be like that, he said. A spiritually personality, his quality is this, that he purifies others. Even if very impure people comes to him, he purifies them. And just like he says, Ganga and other famous rivers, by seeing them or by touching them, how it purifies the devotee. Similarly, by their association of these great souls, everyone gets purified. Not only they are purified themselves, but they purify others as well. That is the symptom of a realized person. The Dattatreya Maharshi is an example of that. And he is saying that a good sadhaka, one who is going up in spiritual life, a good sadhaka should be pure himself and should be able to purify others also by his presence. And these things, we can only accept it as is spoken here, right? And as much as possible to keep the consciousness pure. And we have to become like this. If somebody associates with us, that we purify them by our association. We are supposed to purify them. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen. When they associate with us, we make them also impure. So, and we'll destroy them as well. Even if they were peaceful, we'll destroy their peace. So, chattvam, snigdhatvam, all these are qualities of the water. Qualities of the water. In the fifth canto, you will see this mentioned while discussing the structure of the universe, Bhugola Varana, that it will say that there is a prayer there, prayers to Varuna, saying like this, that you are also another manifestation of Krishna. Ishvara Bhava is present in you like this. That means you are in a position to purify everything. That purifying nature, water has got it, right? And the prayer is like this, that you should remove our sinful reactions and purify us also in this way. Prayers to Varuna in that way, that water has got this capacity to purify. You can see that when you immerse yourself in the water, it's not only the body gets purified. We think like this, isn't it? Body is getting purified. But actually, it's not only the body gets purified. If you go into the water with good thoughts in the heart, with consciousness, that this water is a part of Ganga River. Every water is a part of Ganga River. All the whole, particularly the main, that is why you see there, Gangeji, Yamunacheiva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmade, Sindhu, Kaveri, Jalesmin, Sanithim, Kuru. That purificatory power is present in all the rivers. Ganga, Yamuna, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmada, Kaveri, all these rivers have got that purificatory power. So while bathing in those rivers and immersing yourself, one has to think like this, that it should purify me, not only the body, my own consciousness. That way one should bathe, it says. So that is implied in that, but most of the people don't think like that. They just go and bathe and come back. That's all. But that's a way to bathe in these holy rivers, right? The Dattatreya Maharshi is saying here, also he says, a yogi or a muni should be such that those whoever comes into contact with them, he should be able to give them something good to them in their life. Like Prahlada's bhava. Prahlada was like that, isn't it? He was pure on his own, and even those people who were suffering from Hiranyakashipu, when they came to Prahlada's association, they all became purified. You remember his friends, the boys who were studying with him, They all got eventually purified by Prahlada's association, right? So always happy himself and able to purify others. That nature should be present in a yogi or a muni, he said. About Sri Narada Maharshi also, in the Bhagavatam it is spoken like that always stress-free, free from tension. Narada Maharshi traveled, always free from tension. Why? Because of Harikirtanam, always chanting Krishna's holy names, and Harismarana, remembering Krishna all the time. And he was able to bring everyone to remember Krishna and able to purify that way. So all great devotees are like that. Bhagavatam is also saying the same thing to us. That is why you will see gopis even were talked about it like that. They started singing Krishna's glories and eventually not only they got purified, they purified the whole universe, that says in the Bhagavatam. One day, Nandam Vrajastrinam Padarenam Abhishnasham Yasam Harikatodgidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam. All the three planetary systems were purified Punadi by gopis singing about Krishna. Bhagavatam says like that, isn't it? So Uddhava also mentioned, Uddhava says this about the gopis. After meeting gopis, you see in the 47th chapter, in the 10th canto, after meeting gopis, Uddhava is saying about the gopis like this. One day, Nandavrajasrinam, I offer my obeisances to these gopis in Vrindavanam and take the dust from their feet. Padarenum abhishnasham yasam harikatodgidam. Because they are singing glories of Krishna, which is purifying the entire universe. That way. Similarly, then talks about Prithivi Vayu Agasham. Prithivi Vayu Rapam Agni. Agni, next one. Prithivi Vayu Agasham Apam Agni. Agni, Agni is fire. Agni, what is the speciality with Agni? Agni is so powerful, nobody can fight against it. Tejas, it's called Tejas, right? So here, the Tathagata Maharshi is saying here, from Agni I learned a lesson. What was that? That this present here in front of me in the form of this fire is nothing but that same consciousness, Krishna. Krishna is present here in the form of Agni. So, and this realization to come that Agni is nothing but a manifestation of Krishna, this will be realized when we get to know about consciousness, right? Wherever Atma is present there, Tejas or Agni will be there. And no one can beat Agni under any circumstances, right? What he's saying is, one who has realized Krishna, which means one who has realized your own Swarupam, which means you have realized it is Atma. Swarupam is Atma, and you have realized that Atma is Krishna. One who has realized that, for such a person, nobody can control him anymore, because he has gone away from here. He is on a so higher a plane. That's what it is saying. Tejasvi. You look at the verse 45. Tejasvi tapasa deepto durdarshodara bhajana sarva bhakshobhi yuktalpa nadate malam agnivad. Agni's power is spoken there. So Agni tapasa bhipta, he says. Tapasa deepto. Yogi or Muni, due to his austerities and penances, he develops a spiritual strength inside. Yeah. And that tejas, that fire inside, start growing inside, the power inside start growing, spiritual power. What is that tapas? What we are talking about is this, that he has given up attachment to vishayavastu, that means sense objects. Completely withdrawn from sense objects, and he has become more and more focused on the self, on the soul, and He has reached a very higher state because of that. A sadhaka who has become very serious in spiritual life, he has no interest in whatsoever in this world or sense objects, not even in his own body, and he has become so focused on the self inside, the Atma inside, and that state that is called that tejas, the tejas of a yogi. You become very effulgent. We say like this, isn't it? Oh, he is very effulgent, we say. Or we say there is an aura around his head. You can see all these things in pictures also, they saw. In films also, there is an aura around somebody. What is that aura? Nobody puts any lights or anything. It's just that the effulgence from inside, the tejas inside, Brahma tejas they call it. Brahma tejas, or due to realization. He has become so free from the body, bodily identity, that this tejas is always coming out from him. So, and such a person, he will never be polluted by anything. No contamination can pollute him anymore. So, just like fire, whatever you put it into the fire, it burns. Is it not? It becomes into ashes. Or, and Agni accepts everything. But Agni is not affected by that. Agni is not affected by that. For example, you see, when they are performing sacrifices, they have this Homa Kundam, isn't it? Which they have built for performing the sacrifices. Fire is burning. And in that fire, what all do they throw into it? They put into it. They put rice into it. They put ghee into it. And then they put coconuts into it. They put bananas into it. Different kinds of fruits into it. Agni happily accepts everything. Agni accepts everything without any differences, right? And the people who do this homam or yagam, they for many years they do this homam or yagam, and when they die, their body is also put into the same fire. Whole life they were putting other things into the fire. Fire accepted that. And when they die, these personalities who perform the yagam, when they die, their body is also put into the same fire. And fire accepts that as well. Just to show to us how powerful fire is. Fire is able to accept everything, still unaffected by anything. Right? So Agni accepted that as well, and it was not a problem in that way. Similarly, in this same way, it remains in this world which purifies everything all the time. Agni purifies, right? In the same way, the Dattatreya Maharshi is saying, your senses will go into the world and bring different sense objects for enjoyment, right? But even though they come like that, for enjoyment they bring different sense objects. Something, food or clothing or whatever. Different things they bring. Saying, oh, this is nice, that's nice. Even though they bring all these things, the soul, consciousness inside, he should be like this fire. That he can accept all these things, but remain unaffected by that. That is the nature of a yogi. That's the nature of a yogi. I learned this from the Agni, he says. The Dattatreya Maharshi is saying what he learned from the Agni, right? So, normally you don't see fire anywhere. When you see Agni needs a media to burn, isn't it? Like you bring firewood, then you Agni manifests there. When you bring the firewood and light the fire, then Agni comes. Agni comes, right? Otherwise, Agni keeps itself covered everywhere. It doesn't show its form anywhere. It remains aloof from everything, right? So, at that time, it is one of the Mahabhudam, Pancha Mahabhudam, right? But when the Ubhadi comes, Ubhadi is this media, which is the firewood. When the Ubhadi comes, you can see him. You can see Agni at that time. Similarly, what the Tatramasi is saying here is, now and then Agni shows its form. In the same way, yogi or a muni also, he should normally keep like Agni, not showing anywhere his true nature, identity to anyone. That's why all the Mahatmas, they keep themselves away from the world. They don't want to disturb the world by their showing their powers. They'll keep it themselves. But sometimes they will display their spiritual potencies, spiritual powers, right? So, and they travel in that way. By removing the impurities of those who are associating with them, and when they are performing this Agnihotram, Brahmanas perform Agnihotram, at that time, yajnam and everything, Agni accepts everybody. All kinds of people perform Agnihotram, different nature. And while performing Agnihotram, whatever they are throwing into the Agni, it's all accepted by the Agni. Similarly, but performing Agnihotram, they are supposed to get purified by that. It is one of their sadhana. For the Brahmanas, they are supposed to perform Agnihotram on a regular basis. So through Agnihotram is one of their anushtanam, compulsory anushtanam for them, which is not done anymore. Most of the people don't do it now. So, but Agnihotram is very important for them. Deity worship even is not important. Agnihotram is more important. That is why the fire in the kitchen has to keep on going all the time. In the same way, Agni purifies everything. The Tatraya Maharshi is saying here that when they perform the sacrifices, Agnihotram, at that time, as long as they keep on daily when they do it, the Vishaya Vasana inside, the Vasana for sense gratification, that gets destroyed for them, and due to that, the things what they may or may not have done in the past, those vasanas that were inside, their adrishtabhava means it hasn't manifested but is inside there. That is adrishtam. Like in all of us now, many things are not manifested yet, but it is inside. Inside all of us. When the right environment comes, they will come out from us. At the moment, because the environment has not become favorable, therefore that vasanas have not come out. But when the right situation happens in life, the vasanas, what is already inside us, will come out automatically without any problems. Right? So, and due to that, sinful reactions will come from that, due to that vasana. All those things goes away because Agni is accepting this during the Agnihotram. That's what they do. Similarly, here he is saying, the Tatraya Maharshi is saying here, that those who are great personalities like yogis or jnanis or great devotees or munis, they are all same, they are different. Terminology is used in different places. Sometimes they say yogi, sometimes they say brahmana, sometimes they say jnani, sometimes they say pure devotee. But actually they are all referring to the same person. We are addressing by different names. So when they, a yogi who has become to that level, come to that level of purification, yeah, he will be able to deal with anyone in this world, it won't affect them. You can deal with all kinds of people in this. People in tremendous rajogunam, tremendous tamogunam. Even if you deal with them, it won't affect them. This you can see in life. Many times it's a known fact. That because they are so established inside, that Agni is burning. This 24 spiritual masters is a good indication of a realized soul, how he will be dealing with the world. They call him Brahmana, Yogi, Jnani, Bhakta, this and so many different ways, Muni, all that. But ultimately referring to one thing only, a self-realized soul. A self-realized soul's nature will be like this. That whoever comes into contact with them, they will not be able to pollute them. On the other hand, the other person gets purified by their association, right? So he says, I learned this from the Agni, that those who come to me should get purified at the end, and that's what makes me happy, he said. So, in order to do that, I have to become pure, the Tatra Maharshi says. If I am not pure, how can I purify somebody else? That's a good question, isn't it? Same applies to everything. In Vaidya philosophy, Vedam, this is an important factor. They're saying that if you are not pure, how can you purify somebody else? Same thing, if you are not free from distress in your own life, how can you relieve somebody else's distress? Somebody else comes to you and says, I am in distress, I have this problem, that problem. But you yourself has got enough distress. You are carrying a big load on your own shoulders. And then you are feeling, how can I remove his distress when I am already having so much distress? So, Krishna will say this later, that unless you are free from distress, you can't remove somebody else's distress. Unless you are pure, you can't purify somebody else. These are the important things to note here. That means basically a self-realized soul is free from distress. A self-realized soul is free from, can purify others. Right? So that is what it was said here, that he should be free from all kinds of impurities and should have transcended all other problems of life. Right? And this you can see there, such a person, and sometimes he purifies others, and sometimes he does not show his spiritual powers to the world. He keeps himself covered. He does not display any of his spiritual qualities to the world outside. He remains aloof from everything. That's how they travel in this world. That's how they travel in this world. So, example, Bharata. Bharata Yogeshwara, perfect example, right? When they were taking him to kill him, who Bhadragali's devotees, they were taking him to cut his throat, isn't it, and make an offering to him. No change in his mind or no change in his face, never shown any kind of, they called him, he says, yeah, he went along with them and they bathed him, put a nice cloth on him, making the offering, isn't it? So everything has to be done perfectly. And then put a nice garland on him and brought him and put him in front of the Bhadragali deity there. And they wanted to take the sword and cut his head or to offer to Bhadragali, right? No change. Bharata sat there comfortably. Whatever he was told by the pujari and all his assistants, Jadabharata sat comfortably there, ready. You can do whatever you want to do. That's his nature. That's the example of Bharata. But the same Bharata, when Rahugana spoke certain things to him, he felt that I should speak to him. The one who didn't want to say anything to that Bhadragali Pujari, didn't want to say anything to other men who were present there, he spoke so powerfully to Rahugana. One whole chapter, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, Bharadopadesham, Bharata's Upadesham to Rahugana, isn't it? So in the same way, like Agni is like that. In Agni, you can throw so many different, people throw all sorts of things. Plastics they throw. They throw firewood and then sometimes coconut shell and things like that. They all burn. Everything gets burned, right? So even though they are all burning, he's saying here that people bring different kinds of things which they don't want to dispose of. They put it in that fire. When they throw it, all these things into the fire, Agni is one, but it will take the form of different objects what you are putting into it. Agni will take that form, right? So, Agni is only one, but whatever Upadhi, they all become the Upadhi for Agni to manifest. Firewood, coconut shell, or anything else you take from trees, you want dry wood, you want to put it in, put that in plastics or clothes or anything you put it in, Agni will take that form. Whatever Upadhi you have given to Agni to consume. So, the Tatraya Maharshi is saying, Maya here in this world, due to its power, Maya's power, has created all these things in front of us, in different names and forms, various objects in front of us. And that pure consciousness has entered into everything. He has entered into everything. And he has also entered into all the jivas present here. And the jivas have different forms, different species, he is saying. Different species here. And that includes all the trees, the plants, the butterflies, and many other species, isn't it? Such a variety of creation, in the creation. 8.4 million different species is present here. And pure consciousness has entered into all of them. And yogi should only be worried about that consciousness which has gone into it, not the forms that is present here. All the different species, what is present here, that's not important for him. For him, what is important is that one consciousness which has gone into all these 8.4 million species. When he looks at the tree and when he looks at the animal, for him it doesn't matter, because he is seeing, he is not seeing like the way we see. We see things, oh, it's just a tree, isn't it? That means it's not developed consciousness. But when you see an animal, you give a little more attention to it. And when you see a human being, you give a little more attention to human being. And when you see a big person or a higher personality, you will give more attention to it. So, in our consciousness, that Bheda Buddhi is there. Between the tree, the bird, or the snake, or the cow, or the lion, or a human being. And among the human beings also, different categories, people differentiate everything. So, all these variations in the creation does not have anything to do with the self-realized soul. For him, there is one consciousness which is coming out through all these different forms in this world, through different species. So, because he is seeing like that, this different species does not cause any problem for him inside. No ragadvesham is created inside. That's what he is saying here. Because, like fire, when it enters into all the different upadhis, there fire is manifesting, but fire is concerned, there is no difference between the different things it's burning. It's burning everything, whoever comes to it. Similarly, he is saying here, one consciousness is present here in the human form, in the animal form, in the bird form, and it is manifesting in playing different roles here. You see a little bird, it is enjoying its life in its own way. Making funny noises, its own sweet voices, and looking for little seeds and other things to eat, and jumps all the time from A to B like that, and playing around. If you observe them, you see it as its life. And the same Chaitanyam it is inside us, is inside that bird also. Similarly, when you go into the park and look at a big tree, huge tree standing there, and look at the tree, how it has grown, and it is standing there day and night, rain or sun or snow, whatever it is. Day after day you visit the tree, you see the same tree standing in the same place, unaffected by anything. And who is keeping Krishna? The same consciousness is inside. When the consciousness comes out, There is no tree, there is no bird, there is no animals, there is no none of us either. All gone. So that consciousness which is present everywhere, that is what he is saying here. That so many examples he is mentioning here, that how do you understand that same consciousness is behaving differently in different people? It's because of the upadhi. Upadhi is responsible for that. Because the type of body it has accepted, accordingly its behavior. For example, the sound that a crow makes and a sound that this, what do they call it? This, it's beautiful sound it makes, a quail or something.
Quail.
The sweetness. They are both birds. Why the difference? Difference is due to the upadhi. But Krishna is present in both of them equally. Krishna is not doing anything. The upadhi makes the difference of the sound that they make. The difference in the body. Comes the body, right? Similarly, you look at the way the elephant makes a noise, elephant's noise. Or if you look at the goat's noise or horse's noise, things like that. They are all making different noises, is it not? Based on the upadhi. But the power behind that noise is the same one power. Krishna is present in everywhere. Also, you look at this way, that some people speak in Hindi, right? Similarly, people speak in English, and or Polish, or Arabic, or Russian. People are speaking all different languages, all in the human body. It is in the upadhi you have trained all these things to speak different languages. But the power behind all these different languages is the soul. And that soul is the same. Upadhi can make so much differences in everything. Upadhi can make it. Upadhi means this gross body, our gross body, or tree's body, or animal's body, bird's body, all they are upadhis. So what he is saying here is, Dattatreya Maharshi is saying here, the same Chaitanyam, living force, is sitting in these different bodies and speaking different languages. The same Chaitanyam sits in different bodies and speaks different languages also. It can do that, right? If you think like this, you can see there that same Chaitanyam or living force and present in different gross bodies and display different features. First of all, its body is also different colors, different nature in the body, and different sounds it makes, different languages it speaks, and different food it eats. It's all these things are different, and they are all in the upadhi. It has nothing to do with the consciousness, what is present inside. The consciousness inside is one, and it's the same in everyone. It's the same consciousness that is present in everyone. So, therefore, he's saying here that this is happening, this can only happen if this consciousness is inside that person. If consciousness is not there, he can't do it. He can't speak different languages. He can't speak, he can't make different noises. Or he can't, he can't do any different things like the way he's doing, right? So, if you look at this way, which body it has entered in, the consciousness has entered in, accordingly, it shows its nature. What type of body it has entered into, right? For example, you won't see the consciousness in the human body in the same way you see in the animal's body. In animal's body, that consciousness is behaving in one particular way. In human body, it's behaving in a different way, isn't it? You can see that. It is same consciousness, but in the same way, if you look at the birds, the same consciousness is behaving in a different way. In the birds. And again, if you look at the mosquito, it is behaving in a different way. Or in a fly, it behaves in a different way. All same consciousness. In elephant, it behaves in one way. In tiger, it behaves in a different way. In a lion, in a different way. and in us in a different way. But consciousness is the same. Consciousness is the same, but it behaves differently according to the upadhi it has got. Upadhi is making the difference. That is the important thing. So you can imagine this, the Dattatreya Maharshi must have reflected and nurtured this in his mind, in his thoughts, to such a level that he is finding it difficult anymore to see differences in among the different species. He is finding it difficult to see the difference. Whereas for us, only difference exists. That is the symptom of a person who has gone in the spiritual life, who has elevated himself. So, he said that in present in everyone and powering that particular form is this one source, consciousness, he said. And about Agni. Then he said, he's going to talk about moon, but while talking about moon, he will again mention about Agni. That is how it is in the Bhagavatam, right? So, there he will say that this body, due to influence of time, our own gross body, right? It is changing all the time, is it not? Body is continuously changing. And just like in the lamp, you know, oil lamp or ghee lamp, you pour the ghee or oil into it and the wick is there. And there you see there's a flame coming from that, right? And when you look at it, it appears as though the flame is permanent in that way. It stays like that, right? After some time, if you look at the oil lamp or ghee lamp, you find that oil is running out or ghee is running out, right? And what you observe is there that actually Agni or fire is continuously coming out in the form of spark, but because the continuity is so good that you feel as though there is a flame there permanent as like that. Just like you go into the river and look at the river. River, you think that it is a river permanently like that. No, the water has gone through. Fresh water is coming all the time. In the same way, this flame also, if you look at it carefully, you can see that sparks are coming and forming this flame on a continuous basis. Therefore, and at a particular speed it is happening. Therefore, it looks like a flame for us when you look at it, right? But we don't notice, think about it in that way. We think about it, oh, the flame, as soon as you pour the oil and you have lighted the wick and the lamp is burning, oh, we think everything is fine now. It is going on in that way, right? And after a few minutes or few hours, when the oil or the ghee runs out, this flame is not coming out anymore. So where was the fire? Where was the fire? That's what he's saying here. That in between, the fire from the oil and the ghee has taken this spark's form and it was continuously coming on a regular basis. And that's what was giving the impression of the flame inside us. Right? When they rub stones together and create fire from that, right? And what they do during the sacrifices also, Arani, they rub it each other. And from that, sparks will come. Gradually, first what they do is, when they rub this firewood, Arani, initially a smoke comes out. And then they know that it is catching fire. The fire is on its way. And then the sparks comes. And then later on, in the first is smoke, and then the spark, and then the fire. Fire comes, right? So practically you can see, fire is actually nothing but sparks. Nothing but sparks. So one spark comes and it dies, but by then another one has already come. And that's why you feel the continuity when you look at it, right? So this happens continuously. Similarly, even though we are thinking, looking at this hall, for example, or anything else, tables, chairs, everything, even though in our experience at the moment, we think that they are all permanently staying like this, right? At the same time, This is continuously changing. It's only a question of time. Everything. The whole world, like our body. We are not aware of the body change in our body. We are not able to experience it. Only when it gives trouble, we think about it. Otherwise, we let it go as it is. Similarly, these objects also in the world, buildings or anything in this world, if you take, they are also changing under the influence of time. They are also changing. Even though we think that they are all permanently staying like this, right? How do you know that it is changing? You can see here, we had breakfast in the morning. And why is that we are hungry again after 3-4 hours? We want to eat something again, right? Because at the same time, there's a lot of things happening inside. The breakfast you have taken, say 7 o'clock or so, by 11, 12, so many things have happened inside, 3-4 hours time, inside the body. Food has gone in. We were not bothered about all that. It should go in time. That's all we are concerned about it. What all goes on inside in these 4-5 hours, we are unaware of, right? And then after 4-5 hours, we still want some more to eat food, right? So whatever we have consumed before, we are asking this question that the food has converted itself into waste, into blood, into flesh, and so many things, all changes have happened with the food what we have consumed, right? And so many cells were formed inside the body, and also it is getting destroyed continuously. Cells are getting destroyed, fresh cells are formed inside the body. So this is going on, this process inside the body. We are not aware of that, but the metabolism, what they say, is continuously happening inside the body. So body is continuously changing, and the proof is this, that you are taking some food inside. Why am I feeling hungry after a few hours? Because whatever I have eaten has taken some different forms and gone. So I feel hungry again, and then you have to fill in again. Isn't it? So look at this way, that has gone in and it has changed. Why it had to change in that way? Because if it hasn't changed, the cells were getting continuously destroyed in the body. And they were replaced by fresh cells for which they require all these things to form the cells. So much things going on inside the body, we are not conscious of anything. We will be only worried about when the food doesn't come in on time. That's the only concern for us, right? So, like you can see here, due to influence of time, this has happened, isn't it? Due to influence of time, this has happened. That I took food in the morning at 7 o'clock, by 12 I am feeling a change in me. I need food more. Why? Because influence of time. It has changed everything inside. Digestion, change of the food into blood and bones or whatever it is, different ways it has transformed. Therefore, I am hungry and I need food again. So, from this experience or example, we have to learn that under influence of time, everything in this creation will change. Under the influence of time. Everything in this creation is subject to change. Not only to this body, including the gross things what you see here is also subject to change. If you see one person now, and then you have an impression of that form inside your mind, and then you have not seen him for another 5 years, you see him after 5 years, you tell him, oh, I haven't seen you for a long time, you have changed so much. Sometimes you make a remark like that. If he has changed, either all his hair has gone white, or he has become less mobile, or he is getting disability, or whatever. So everything has changed in him. in him. The body has changed so much, right? Basically, it didn't happen because 5 years you didn't see him. But actually, it was a change was happening on a second by second basis in him. If we stop the class now at 9 o'clock, by 9:30 when we restart again, everything has changed in all of us. We have changed by then. Isn't it? Same thing. Such is the change that is happening inside. But we don't realize that. That at 9:30 we think we are the same when this person who went out at 9 o'clock, when he came back at 9:30. So, but change has happened. So, so body and all other bodies in this world under the influence of time is subject to this change. And they are all subject to these 6 kinds of changes. You know that, 6 kinds. Shad Parinama Bhedam, it's called. The 6 different changes, what happens, which Prahlada discusses in Prahlada in the 7th canto. 12 features of the soul and 6 features of the body. If you study that, Prahlada explains it very well there. The 6 changes for the body and 12 changes for the 12 features of the soul. Everything that applies to body exactly opposite to the soul. Exactly opposite to the soul. Just like changes in us, if you look at it this way, we change our way of dressing sometimes. When you go to one country, you dress in that accordingly. Or when you go to another country, accordingly you have to dress there, isn't it? You change your clothes according to the places where you live. Similarly, the language you speak, you are changing. In one place you speak in one language. Another place you go, either you speak in the new language, what they are speaking there, or you have to pick it up and learn the language and speak that language in the new place. Along with that, your body is also changing. Body is changing, the speech is changing, and the food habits also change sometimes. Because no option, there's nothing else available. So you have to eat what is available, isn't it? In the same way, body is changing, and body has got these things, 6 things. Born, and stays for some time, starts growing, that's changing, and then it starts destruction and eventually death. So the 6 different Shad Parinama Bhedam, it happens to that. So those six changes are only applicable to the body. Only applicable to the body. Nothing to do with the soul. Nothing to do with the soul. So all these things we have to observe in life, looking at others and connecting that with our own life, and in that way one has to realize it. You can only say these things, but how to realize these things and get it in is by observing others and observing one's own body, and starts becoming aloof from the body in this way, because body is not your identity. That is what it is driving at. To tell us that body is not your identity, it is telling us that this body itself is not a permanent thing. Whereas you don't never feel inside that you are temporary, do you? All of us feel we are permanent. Maybe not in this body, but we will exist somewhere in some form. Where is that coming from? That comes from the soul. That awareness comes from the soul, that we are permanent. But due to association with this matter, the body which is temporary, we feel like that. So these 6 changes are not present in the soul, right? So looking at others and looking at your own body, you have to connect all these things, and we have to give attention to these things, right? Otherwise you won't understand these things. All this analysis is only to help us to look at these things and see what Dattatreya Maharshi is saying here, right? So just like you see here, if you give attention, you will notice this. The moment this body came out from the womb of the mother, you start noticing it as your birthday. Is it not? And what is, where were you before that? Through the semen of the man, it entered into the womb of the mother. And that is how it is spoken in the third canto. Kamala Maharshi says this, right? Some point in time, in the womb of the mother, the life started manifesting. Life was there. Life entered into the womb of the mother, but for a few months' time, it didn't express itself in the form of life. But afterwards, we realize that the life is inside the womb of the mother. The life has entered there. So you are taking this birthday. Birthday is only the day this form has come out from the womb. You call it as birthday. But way before that, that person, Jiva, is in the womb. You are not taking that as a birthday. You are taking when it came out from the womb as a birthday. So when was it born, the Jiva? When was it born? It came from somewhere, entered into the womb through the semen of the father, and inside the womb it stays for some time, but at a particular time, it started showing to the world that I am here. That's how it starts, isn't it? And then we go to the hospital and scan it and this way, that way, and say, oh, there is the baby is there and everything is fine and this and that. When did you know that Jiva has gone in? We don't have an idea about that. Particular time when it entered into the womb, we don't know exactly. So, and then the body in the womb, when it has got its legs and hands and everything, what is actually born is hands and legs, not the Jiva. Jiva was never born. Jiva has entered in, Jiva is Krishna himself. How do you say that he was born? So, but this body that is inside, that is what is coming out in the form of a birthday, for a birthday celebration. That's what it is coming out, right? So, if you look at the changes that is happening, that we say, the body has sometimes experiences some accident or something, hand got broken or leg got broken, or you got very weak, and all those changes that's happening and troubles that's happening is for the body. It's not for the soul. So if you think all these different aspects of life, the Tathagata Maharshi is saying that you will be able to withdraw from the body. You'll be able to move away from the body. The problem is that we are so strongly fixed in the body. And that's why it's getting more difficult. Because out of 24 hours, when we talk about it, maybe for a few minutes, you maybe think differently. But otherwise, 23 hours and the rest of the minutes, we are thinking we are this body. So imagine how much effort the Tathagata Maharshi must have put in to become free like this from the body. From the body. So, sometimes that body is giving trouble and you got some illnesses like diabetes or some cancer or something, and then the doctors are saying you have to cut your hands or legs or whatever that is, right? Doctor says if you want to survive, you have to take this part of the body off. You say, yeah, take it off so that I can survive. That's what I will say. What does that mean? It means that I'm not bothered about the body actually. Even if I have to lose the body, I want to survive. That is my thinking. And that is why when we think if the hand is cut off or leg has been cut off, ultimately nothing is cutting me off. I am still there. Only thing is I don't have the full body. I've got part of it. Partly it has gone away, doesn't matter, but still I am okay. You feel secure that nothing has affected me. What has happened is my body has been cut off somewhere. Right. So, due to that, I never feel that I'm not existing anymore. I feel I am existing as good as I was existing before it was cut off, even after it was cut off. Me, that existence, awareness inside, exists in complete. So that is why sometimes you see yourself when you are 5-year-old, a little boy or girl running around, and if you look at their photo, and then when you are 60 or 70 and you look at your photo, and you are saying, I am the same person who was running then, and this is my photo. And you are showing to your children or grandchildren, saying, look at me, how I was like you. He said, the child is saying, no, it's not you, it's somebody else. He says, no, you, it's me. You are complete, nobody need to convince you about it. You are so sure about it, isn't it? So all those things, right? So by then what happened? The sound has changed and your thoughts have changed. When you were 5 years old, the way you used to think about life and the knowledge about life, what you had. And now at your age of 60 or 70, when you are looking at your own life, the way you are thinking today about life, what a huge difference it has made from then to now, right? And similarly, your sound also has changed. So these are the things to be taken notice of. This is all a part of self-realization process. You remember that song, Manobuddhi Ahankara Chittani Naham Chidananda Rupam Shivoham Shivoham. I am pure consciousness, pure consciousness, pure consciousness. I have nothing to do with any of these things, right? So, and in that it will say, Name Lobha Mohau. This Ragam, Dvesham, Lobham, Moham. All these things are not in me. It's all in the subtle body. Nirvana Shalkam, that song, if you study there, you will find this. That none of these emotions, they are all connected with my subtle body. Anger, hate, desire. Where is it all? It's not in me. So, stage by stage, how to detach from the body and move away from the body at every step. This 24 spiritual masters mananam will help a lot to come to that state. That's the beauty of this spiritual master. That is why Krishna spoke to Uddhava. Uddhava, this conversation between Yadu and Avadhuta is so important, he said, that it will help you to develop this consciousness, because you are now leaving this world. You are going to travel everywhere. Tondu sarvam parityajya sneham swajana bandushu mai avesya mana samadra vijrasvagam. And he said there that due to the presence of the consciousness, everything is working here. Gross body, subtle body, apart from that, this identification that I am this body is also due to the presence of the soul. That's why you are identifying with it, right? But even though all these things happening, nothing is changing in me. And that is when he is saying here that the moon. So the moon, in the olden days, nowadays when children make too much trouble, the mother will put the telly on or give him a mobile phone to play with and keep quiet. But in the olden days, we didn't have nothing. We had nothing for the children to play like that. So what normally the mothers do, they will take the baby who is not eating, doesn't want to eat, no taste for the food, and protest and fight against eating. So mothers will take the baby and go out from the house and look at the toy was the moon in the sky. Point out the moon to the baby and tell the baby about the moon. Explain about the moon to the baby. Baby will look at the moon on a nice, when the moon is present. Baby find it very fascinating. Like it gets fascinated when you give the mobile phone. Or when you give the show. Nowadays everything, we have got gadgets for everything. If the baby is protesting, put on the telly and he'll go quiet. This is the mothers today have to do this. Or they give him a mobile phone and keep him occupied and then he stops crying. He's happy when you see something on the screen running around and that's how it is. But in the olden days, we didn't have a television, we didn't have a mobile phone, we didn't have anything like that. Everything was empty. So you just go out and see what is in the nature available. Either a bird sitting on a tree or show him the sun, or sun is difficult because it's too hot, but the moon outside, moon in the night, if you show it to him, it's attractive. So many stars around, only the moon is there. And then the baby starts looking at the moon. And in the middle, the mother starts feeding the baby. Baby will take it at that time. That's how the mother is fed the baby. Many babies are fed like that. So naturally, you can see here that moon becomes a part of your life like that. That's how when growing up as a little child, you start seeing the moon many times, many, many days, and the moon has, without your knowledge, gone inside you, right? And because the changes that's happening in the moon, some days babies don't know about the new moon day and the full moon day and all that. Babies doesn't know the changes that's happening to the moon. One day he sees the moon in one form, another day it's in another form, full moon day. So all these things is shown to the baby, and here, the Tatray Maharshi is saying here, when I looked at the moon, what came to my mind was this. What did he say there? He said that one day it was only one line in the sky. Day by day, that line started getting thickened and thickened. And in 15 days' time, it has become a full circle. It has become a full circle. And then again after that, the full circle started disappearing. And then become less by less and less the size. And it became nothing at the end, he said. So, when I was studying Shastram, he's saying, the Tatray Maharshi is saying here, if you study a Shastram a lot, I realize that the me inside is like this moon. Moon is coming and going. And in my appearance, moon is showing that it is increasing and decreasing its form all the time. In the same way, I have understood that the soul inside, doesn't have any change. But it keeps showing to me in different forms at different times. The changes that's happening in the body. Body is changing. Similarly, moon's body is changing. Moon is not changing. And from Shastram I understood this. He says, who? Dattatraya. Dattatraya is saying that by studying Shastram I realized I am very much similar to that moon. Because in me, I can't see any change happening, which is a fact. Nothing has changed in us, isn't it? As an Atma state, no change is happening in me. But throughout life, what has happened, like the moon, it kept increasing, growing in bigger, and then it started decreasing, getting itself destroyed, and one day it disappeared, like the moon. So, the Vriddhi and Kshayam it's called. Vriddhi and Kshayam. That means its growth and its destruction. What has happened to the moon is happening to this body also. Nothing different than that. Very much the same. For the moon it is 15 days. For me it is 50 years or 60 years or whatever it is. But the process is the same. While this was happening, nothing was happening to the moon. In the same way, when this is happening to this body, nothing is happening to me either. See the comparison, how moon has come into his notice, and how he looked at the moon and learned this lesson from the moon. So, just like you can see the moon at different places, it will be appeared in different way, and you know that one is called new moon day, and another day it is called full moon day. So, and this changes, you are noticing it in the moons. Similarly, saying here, if you look at the 48th verse, Visargadya Shmashanandam Bhava Dehasya Nalpana Kalanam Iva Chandrasya Kalena Vyaktavarpana. 48th verse. Visargadya Shmashanandam Bhava Dehasya Nalpana Kalanam Iva Chandrasya Kalena Vyaktavarpana. Visargam to Shmashanam. That means from birth till this body is taken to the burial place for cremation. From the day it appeared to the day it goes into the cremation ground, all changes that was happening was only for the body. Nothing was happening to me. Only the body was changing, right? Even the name you are giving is for the body, not for the soul. We search all the internet, consult people before giving the name for this body. Is it not? So, just see how much ignorance is, avidya is inside us. It's so important for us giving the name. So, and the name which you have very carefully selected and given is gone the day it is put into the fire. The name has disappeared. Nobody cares for that name anymore. Right? But the person has not been gone. Person is still there. Right? So, who was thinking that I am that body? That person is still there. The one who was thinking I am that, was that body, he is still there somewhere. Right? And that is why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, what? Vasamsi jirnaya yatha vihaya. Remember that verse? Nyanyadi samyati navani dehi. Tatha sharirani vihaya jirna. Nyanyadi samyati navani dehi. Krishna is making as clear as possible the difference between consciousness and the gross body, and the gross and subtle bodies. They are so different, Krishna is saying there. That famous verse, vasamsi jirna. Just like you are changing your clothes, that's all it is. Nothing but changing clothes, he said, the body. That's how Krishna sees that, right? So, and you remove this clothes and throw it away. In the same way, you have to walk away. But we say that, oh, I've become thin, I've become fat, and I've grown up tall, and or grown down. So, but actually, does that happen? No. Changes are all for the body, it is happening. When you think like that, this body is nothing but a cage. Body is nothing but a cage. And all I'm doing is that, sitting inside this body, allowing this body to, using it for different purposes. Sitting inside this body, what I'm doing is, I'm using it for different purposes, right? When I realize that, then you understood that what the moon is doing. The moon, right? So, all those things, right? And while remaining in this body, I start thinking that I am changing and I identify with everything what is happening with this body. With this body. Here, the body is changing and all these changes are happening due to the influence of prakriti, material nature. And kalam, the time, who is making this happen. So both this material nature which has created this body and the time that is change, kalam, which is changing this body, these two things can exist only if it is under supported by the consciousness. This is the important principle. You see how subtle the thinking is of Dattatreya Maharshi. Dattatreya Maharshi is looking at this body and saying that this body has come from material nature. And time which is present is changing everything, this body. Time is changing the body continuously. Material nature has provided this body. But both these things are existing and this function is going on only because consciousness is behind it. If consciousness is not there, this process won't happen. This is the important lesson he has learned, he said, here. So, see, if you say that to people, that somebody is getting fat, somebody is getting thin, if you say that, people will understand. When you talk about the body, people recognize it easily. But when you talk about the soul, they are blinking. No idea what it is all about. Just see how much avidya inside. From this is what we have to understand. The avidya or ignorance inside us is so deep rooted that when you talk about the change in the body, everybody says, yeah, you've gone very fat, or you've gone very thin, or you're very sick, or you've gone old, or you've gone... So many things we talk about people, isn't it? Like that. Or you look so beautiful, you look so ugly, or whatever it is. All these things we notice and we express it. To that person, if you talk about the soul, that person doesn't have any clue what is he talking about. This is avidya inside. That's what he's saying here. Then, after this, he talks about the sun. Prithvi, Vayu, Agasham. Prithvi, Vayu, Agasham. Apam, Agni. Five material elements. Then sun and the moon. About the sun it is saying here. What he learned from the sun. So, sun brings the water from all the rivers and from the ocean, everything, right? And turn them into clouds and supply it back to us again. Sun doesn't keep it. He turns everything into clouds, and then at the appropriate time, to the appropriate place, it releases the water, right? Similarly, the Tatramashi is saying here, yogi also is like that. He said, yogi sometimes may accept something, some sense objects, and he will release it when he doesn't want it. But the difference in the yogi and our ordinary people is, when yogi receives something, he knows that he is going to keep it for some time and leave it. But we, when he receives something, we don't think like that. He said, that I've taken it, I'm giving it up. That attitude won't be there in us. Well, there's only one attitude, get everything. That's the only thing in us. Give, that attitude never comes to us. But yogi is always conscious, it has come from Prakriti, it should go back to Prakriti. In that way he lives, he says. So, another thing. In case of knowledge also, as far as knowledge is concerned, and say, for example, you have heard about some incident, what happened yesterday, right? And today, somebody is talking to you. And at that moment, he asked you about that incident, what happened yesterday, right? So you told him that this is what happened, I was there, that incident, and this is what I have witnessed, and you have told him about that, right? So the person, when he heard your description of the incident, what happened yesterday, it affected him. It changed his mood. It has made something in his mind. Some thoughts have occurred in him. And it has created some changes in that person. Right? So, in the yogi, what the Tatra is saying here is that because he heard it yesterday and today he spoke about it to somebody else today, nothing has changed in him. He was not affected by that. Why? Because the knowledge is inside that all these things have nothing to do with me. What he's saying is that everything happening in the Prakriti cannot do anything to you as a soul, consciousness. Consciousness is not affected by anything what is happening in this creation. Consciousness is above that. To such an extent, he has broken away from the Prakriti. Who? The Tathaya. That's what it is pointing at. That he has separated himself from the Prakriti to such an extent, such a fine degree, that all changes that's happening here is not affecting him. Whereas, this incident what happened yesterday, the next day he is talking to somebody, and that person got affected by that. What happened yesterday, he spoke about it today to another person, and that person, after hearing that, he was affected. So just see, a yogi is a heart. Similarly, when something happens, somebody tells you something, a yogi is talking about, that it is not affecting him. We get affected by everything. He doesn't get affected, right? That means aham mama bhavam, ahamda and mamada is not there in him. He has become free from that. How? Like the sun, he says. How? Because sun is accepting the water from everywhere. From the river, from the lakes, from the ocean, and everywhere it is accepting the water. And at the appropriate time it is releasing. But sun, the planet, is not affected. Is not affected by that. He is no bondage. Because of this only, sun is considered to be the head of the parampara. Solar. Sun is considered to be the head of the parampara. You remember? And that is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita also. I have given this knowledge to the sun planet long ago. That is why when traditionally, in the sannyasi parampara, if there was no one to give you sannyasam, you can take sannyasam from sun. Sun will offer you the sannyasam. Many people have taken, Ramanujacharya has taken sannyasam like that. He didn't have a sannyasa guru as such. He decided to take sannyasam, he sat there and he took sannyasam in this way. Because great personalities know this secret, that they are also fixed in this knowledge. That is why they don't have any confusion about it. For us, everything has to be told and still we are doubtful about it. We need a full person sitting in front of us. He should be a sannyasi with danda on and everything. And only then you take sannyasam. But for great personalities, they are taking sannyasam all the time from sun. Sun is considered to be the epitome of knowledge. And that is why you remember that Lord Ramchandra belongs to that dynasty. Surya Vamsham and Chandra Vamsham is the... That is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita also. Imam Vivasade Yogam Proktavanaha Vamvayam Vaivaswan Manave Praha Manirukshagave Bravid Rajavidya Rajagukhyam. This Rajavidya is known to the sun before anybody else. And his activities in this world is showing to us how a perfect sannyasi should be. Completely detached from everything. He will do what he has to do and he will gone. You don't see him again. He comes next day again and does what he has to do and gone. And equal to all. Sun is equal to all. All living entities who comes into contact with him. So, and there is no ego in the sun's mind. Oh, I have given them enough sunshine now. Or I am doing this. No such thing in him. Right? Yogi should be like that, says Dattatreya. Yogi should be like that. So, also, when the sun is present, if you have many pots of water here, everywhere sun reflects equally. In a small pot, bigger pot, in the river, or in the lake, or in the tank, or in the ocean, everywhere sun is reflecting. Equally, he is present there. So, there is no that small sun in the small pot or big sun in the big pot. And when the water is moving, the sun is also moving, right? So, gross people who are with a gross intelligence, they will look at this and think that, oh, the sun in this water is very polluted. Sun's color is different. That is with the people with gross intelligence. And then they look at the sun in the sky and they see a big sun in the sky. But in the pot they look, it's a small sun in there. So they start thinking that sun is small in the pot and sun is big in the sky and things like that, right? So, but Sushma Buddhi, who has got pure intelligence, subtle intelligence, they know that there is only one sun. And that sun, and this example is in the Bhagavatam, in many places spoken. This example of sun reflecting in the water, right? And wherever it is reflecting, it is only the reflection that is moving. Sun is not affected. Similarly, Atma, the soul, is one. Like the sun. Atma, the soul. So all to show to us that the only one thing exists here. Whether it is through the example of the sun and many others in this 24 spiritual masters, it will always be saying the same thing. It appears as though, due to reflection, that many exist here. But actually, many doesn't exist, right? So, similarly, Atma is one, but it appears it's many, because why? Because there is so many parts, like the different bodies. Therefore, it feels as though many exist here, right? So, sthulam sushma. For a sthula buddhi, who has got a sthulam, gross intelligence, it is many. For a sushma buddhi, who has got the subtle intelligence, it's got only one existing here. Sushma buddhi knows that in everywhere there is existing only one, it appears as though many. And we are all the different parts in this, right? The same sun is present in all these different parts, in all these different parts. That Jnana Surya, the knowledge, sun, is Krishna, right? So, even though we are seeing many in this world, in different parts, we should always remember this, it's only that one that is present inside, right? So, sun has taught this, and all these are spoken here as the Dattatreya's realizations here, right? Based on the sun, based on the moon, based on the five material elements, and in this way, right? Imagine how well he has thought through this. Now, if you look back into what we discussed before, these seven ones, five material elements and sun and moon, we discussed before twice. One when we were at the manor, and then later on we discussed at the center point also. So, twice we have discussed, and now we have discussed again. And how much do we remember all this? This five material elements and sun and moon. As I said before, the reason is this, why it is not staying inside us. Even though we have heard three times now about this five material elements and the sun and the moon, still it is not impacting us. Least impact on us. As soon as we stop this class, it's gone back, completely gone from us inside. And the reason for this is the seventh one. I mean, 5 plus 2, 7, 8th one. And that's why 8th one is very important. 8th one is causing all the problems in us, why the first 7 is not having any effect on us. The reason is that, the 8th one. The 8th one will tell you why you never gave any attention to the 7 ones. Because 8th one has, this 8th one is telling us, it has dragged us, our attention from everything else into one thing. And, but only thing is, it was not the soul, it was something else. And that is the, what we are going to discuss after the break. The 8th one with a fresh mind. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam Anandam buddhivardhanam pradipada purnamridaswadhanam sarvatna subhanam bharam vijayate shri krishna sangirtanam namna magari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi durdaivamida shamihajani nanuragaha trinarabhi shunijena tarorabhi sahishtuna Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Nadhanam najanam nasundarim Kavidam va jagadishakamai Mama janmani janmani shware bhavadat bhakti rahai dugitvai Ainanda tanuja kingaram patitamam shame bhavambudav Kribaya tavapada pangajastida doli sadrasham vijindaya Nayanam galadashudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira Pulaker nijidam kadavabu tavan amagrahane bhavishyadi yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishaidam shunyaidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename ashleshava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So after the five material elements plus sun and the moon, seven, as we have briefly seen this time also, and then the eighth one is the what is it teaching us is that these lessons from the eighth guru, which is this cup of the birds, it is showing us some problem in life, our life, and it is because of that we are unable to give attention on the first seven, Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, Agni, five, plus Chandraman, Ravi, sun and the moon. These seven, we are not giving any attention to these seven because of the problem what eighth is teaching us. Eighth is teaching us. So, it's a bit of a problem, this particular guru is a bit of a problem because what it's saying is, don't get attached anywhere. That's a very difficult one because Krishna says at the end, if you look what, when the end of this, because so many verses it has taken to explain this Kapotam Kapoti story. It has taken many verses. And finally, when everything is over, Krishna closes this Kapotam Kapoti with one verse, Ya prapya manusham lokam mukti dwaram apavratam griheshu khakaval sattam tamarud achudam vidu. That is the 74th verse in the 7th chapter. And the way Krishna says that, Uddhava to Uddhava, Krishna's point is this, that Uddhava, human life is much more worth than all these things in this world. Human value, life, value of human life is so high that only one who loses this opportunity in human life, what one can achieve in this human life, if he misses that, then no matter what you have done here, at the end, it is of no importance. That's the way he says there. Anyway, what he said there, if you look at the 52nd verse, na adisneham prasangova kartavya kobi kenachit kurvan vindeda sandhavam kapoda ivadhinadhi. Never in life to anybody or to any object excessive attachment shouldn't be there, it says. Adisangam na adisneham prasangova kartavyam kobi kenachit kurvan vindeda sandhava kapoda ivadhinadi. If the question is, he's saying not to any object or not to anybody, any person in this world, you should not have excessive attachment. Excessive means that if you start feeling that without that person, you cannot live happily, you can't be happy, or you are going to suffer. If that stage comes, that means it's excessive attachment. Without that person, if your life is disturbed and you feel that you are, you know, when you say this, it may look a little ruthless and hurtful to people, but you have to see from Krishna's position what he is saying. Krishna is saying, if you get attached, that means you are going to have trouble later. And to come out of that trouble, it will take a long time. Because ultimately, there are certain things in this world where you have no control over it. This coming together and getting separated, it is not under our control. It is decided by the higher power. The laws of karma decides that. There you have no freedom to do anything. So better to accept that reality first in life rather than trying to change that law. That law is not going to change. People who come into your life at some point in time, they come into your life and they stay with you for a certain period of time and then they leave you and go. So when the reality is like that, why take that relationship as a permanent thing and get suffering from that, expect suffering from that? That is what Krishna is pointing at. Not that Krishna is ruthless about it. And Krishna's life also, if you look, you will see this principle was followed very strictly. Whether with the gopis, whether with his own wives, no attachment anywhere. All the time you'll deal with them, but at the end when the time comes, he goes. Even with Uddhava, who was following like a shadow throughout their life, when the time comes, he says to Uddhava, it's over now, I have to go my way, you have to go your way. That is that vairagyam inside. It is necessary. Krishna says if you want to develop spiritually, it is required. Otherwise you can develop as much attachment as you want and suffer through the consequences from that. This is the way Krishna has put it. So he is saying here, if you have an attachment like that, what did he say here? Kurvan vindeyada santapam. Santapam will come. Santapam, opposite to santosham. Santapam means suffering will come from that. Why did he say like this? You see here, that means, so far we were talking about the one thing that doesn't change in this whole creation is only consciousness, which is unaffected. That's Krishna. So that is the only reality here, the one that doesn't change. You can see in our own life, body is changing. But me, inside that awareness inside, consciousness inside, never changes. It was there when we were born, it will be there when we die, and after death also it will go like this. So awareness or consciousness never changes. And here, but that awareness has to come into contact with this material elements in the form of body, is it not? And as soon as you come into contact with these five material elements, the nature has changed for us. We identified with the material elements, whether it's an object or a person, and Krishna is pointing out that these material elements you are coming into contact with are not permanent. Get that established first inside. Because material body is material elements. These material elements that you are coming into contact with are not permanent. So you have to treat that in that way. Just like something is temporary, you treat in one way. Something that's permanent, you deal it in a different way. Temporary things, with that understanding, you have to treat that in that particular way, right? So at the moment you see a person in the particular name, in a particular form, and or any other object also in the same way, but the name and the form or the behavior of that name and form, all these things we give attention to today. Today that's what we do. We give attention to the name and the form and the behavior of the name and form. How it behaves with us, right? But remember Krishna is saying, it is always changing. That form is changing, name is going to change, and also behavior is also going to change. But when all these things are happening, inside that person, there is something which is permanent. Your attention should fall on that permanent thing, not on the changing ones. This is the lesson from here. So that, in order to say this, Shuka Brahmarshi took out this example of Kapotam, Kapoti, everything, right? Earlier we heard this, when we were talking about the sun, that the sun is reflecting in so many different parts, rivers, lakes, tanks and ocean and everywhere, right? But if you give attention to the reflections in the water, then it is a problem. But if you give attention to the sun in the sky, then there is no problem, right? Equal examples, you go to a jewelry shop, you see all kinds of jewelry there. The gold in different forms, isn't it? Different kinds of jewelry they will show it to you. But if you are conscious that it's all gold at the end, but in different forms, then the form has not affected you, right? Now, when you change the form of a particular thing you bought from the goldsmith, you change the form back to gold, and then you start thinking that it's not so beautiful like the way it used to be. So what does that happen? That means the avidya inside is working. You are carried away by the form. You have forgotten that the origin is the gold, but we got attracted by the form. That's what they do, the goldsmith. They'll present you beautiful things, nicely done, and everybody goes, and when they buy it, what do they say? When they are buying, they're looking at the different designs, isn't it? Different designs in the forms. That's what they are attracted by. But that is, you are dealing with the avidya inside. So, but if the attention falls on the gold inside, then you won't have any suffering. You still know that it is gold. If the form changes, you won't be affected by that. So, in the same way, in this creation also, we are meeting all kinds of people here, different types of people with different forms and names and everything, and living entities also. And we identify with some of them and become very attached to them, and we start singing, "He is mine," or "She is mine," and in this way our ego identifies with that, and that will lead into distress. Everybody whom we see in this world, if you start identifying, some of them you pick and choose among them and saying, "They are all my people, they are all my friends, they are all my family," and in this way if I identify with them, then I will have a problem. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, that is what is spoken through this story, this principle, that you are picking and choosing some people in this creation and identifying with them as yours, and you are theirs and they are mine, and in this way you have fallen, got into the trap. And that is what Krishna is warning very strongly here, to not to fall into that trap. So, in everywhere when Bhagavatam is discussed, out of these 24 spiritual masters, normally you don't get time to discuss all the 24 in detail. But the speakers normally at least will speak about this Kapodam story. They won't talk about other things. But Kapodam story they will speak. Because they'll pick one or two out of the 24 because they don't have the time. Particularly in Saptaham time. 7 days only, you have to read the whole verses and then you have to speak from the summary of the chapters, isn't it? So when it comes to 24 spiritual masters, even though they will ignore all the other sun, moon and the material elements and all that, this Kapodam story, they won't leave it. Because it's so important. That is why it is, right? And because it's a very touching story, this is. This Kapodam story, right? And it is our life, actually. It's our life that is spoken. Therefore, when you talk about this story, normally in Saptaham also, people will give some attention to it. They will think about it a little bit. It's very difficult to change people's way of thinking. It's not easy. You know, Krishna is saying this very often. To change somebody's thinking is very difficult. You have to put these examples in front of them and wake them up from their avidya to come out, right? So, the hero here is this Kapoda bird. He's the hero here, right? and that, this Brahmana, Dattatreya, has spoken in one verse about him, right? And he grew up as the son of a family husband. He had his father and mother, and he grew up and initially he accepted what his father, mother has given him, and he grew up like that, this Kapoda bird, right? And he was living with them. As normal in this world, like you can see, it's our story that is spoken. Sugar Brahmashi thought that if he tells our story directly, we'll get offended. So therefore what he did was he put this bird into it and made it, but actually he's telling our story. So the son grew up with the parents, right? And after some time he got its wings, this bird. The son got his wings means that he has grown up. He can do things on his own, right? And he has got power to fly. We also say the same thing, isn't it? When the sons have grown up, now they are flying on their own. Things like that. So, and then he said, he started flying around everywhere, exploring the world. Who? This bird, son, is exploring the world, right? And many places he found interesting things, so he started accepting it. And he's living like that. At that time, he met with many people in that journey, in his journey. By now he has become independent from home. He has left his parents more or less. Even though he is living with them, still he is living his own life in his own way. So at that point, at some point in his life, he started feeling that this is no good, like depending on them all the time and depending on the parents. And also to wandering around all over. I should settle down. He started thinking like that. So these thoughts has come to him, feeling settled in life. Suddenly one day, man also feels the same thing. Oh, I should settle down in my life. Till then he goes around doing all sorts of things, enjoying life. After a few years he gets fed up with this enjoyment also. And then he started feeling, I should settle down, right? So, so in that way he thought about it. So naturally he decided that best thing is that I start building a place of my own. Place of my... When you say this whole story, immediately the thoughts will come to you, is that not your own story? That, so there was some saying there, Kapodan Kapodi and all that. More than that, it's your own life, right? So he started feeling that, oh, you should have your own home. And he also felt the same thing. And then he built his house and he was living there. Then he started, it's no good to be alone like this. And living alone, this is not a good thing. He started feeling this way. Kapodam started feeling like that, right? So it would be nice to have somebody else with us. Together we can make it. So this thought has come to this Kapodam. And that is how he starts. And by chance he meets this Kapodi. So he is thinking that, where will I find another one who is looking for like me? He was looking in this way. He was looking, traveling in his journey. He is always, this is in his mind. Where will I find a partner to live with? And at the same time, you will see as though it is from our story. Same script duplicated here. And some chance he met somebody. They meet each other. And in the bird's case, that he was trying to eat something, and Kapodi came there to eat the same thing. So he felt that now we have met each other, right? So we say that Krishna has arranged a meeting to happen in life, to meet with somebody. It was prarabdham that has come in that form, both of them, both the man as well as the woman. It is a prarabdham that has brought them together, right? And they both accepted that prarabdham. And he is invited her to live with him in the flat or apartment or whatever it is, right? And she accepted it very happily. And as soon as they came together in the house, the name was there before, whose name was put there, that is taken out, and it has become our house. It was my house before, now it has become our house. Together, right? So my world has gone and it has become our world now. Right? And in earlier I used to think about me, now it's about us, we are always thinking about, right? And they spoke to each other, and the life has started. Many, many dreams have started building up after this meeting. And Brahmana says to him, that if you look at the verse 54, kapotau sneha gunita hridayo grahadharminau drishtim drishtyangamangena buddhim buddhya babhandadu. Kapotau sneha gunita hridayo grahadharminau drishtim drishtyam gamangena buddhim buddhya babhandadu. If you take every word in that verse and look at it, is that not what has happened to all of us? That's what you will read from there, right? He's saying there that kapodos nehagunidau, that day by day some contact, attachment has built up from that. When we didn't know each other before, after meeting, some attachment has built up. Day by day it increased, that attachment, right? And then the householder life started. Grihastha dharma between Kapodam and Kapodi, right? She is serving him in every way she can, and he is trying to please her all the time, right? And did you see what he says? Drishtim drishtyanga mangena. He is looking at her and she is looking at him, appreciating how beautiful you are, each other. He is looking at her and saying, how beautiful you look. And she is also telling him, oh, you look very smart today. Drishtim drishtyanga mangena, he says. How that union together, how it has all built up together. When we came to this world, did we knew anything what was going to happen to us? We didn't know anything. We came alone here. We didn't even know our parents who are going to look after us. No connection anywhere. And from that stage, now what has happened? This bondage has built up inside so strongly that every moment you want to look at her and she wants to look at you and appreciate each other. And you can't live without that, seeing each other, not able to talk to each other, if you are missing. And they say also, not one day we lived separately in our married life, we were so together all the time. But Krishna won't be liking it if you say this to him, that one day we lived separately in our life. Krishna says, you are not meant to be like that, he will say to you. That's why these words, you see, drishtim drishtyanga mangena. That this looking at each other, of course in married life it is different. First one or 2 days you may look at each other, afterwards it changes everything, isn't it? So anyway, he says, everything come together, the bodies have become together, and apart from that, what else? Even the way you think, you are only thinking together. Even, he says, buddhim buddhya babandhadav. Buddhi has joined, one buddhi has joined, his buddhi has joined her buddhi, and it has become one. Buddhim buddhya bhavandadu, it says. Mind has become one, body has become one, buddhi has become one. And same outlook, same vision, and in this dream they are living, family life is going on, Kapodam and Kapodi. Not much different from ours. All different degrees, that's all. Otherwise everyone is trapped in the same problems like this, right? So he says here, if you look at the next verse, how they were together. Shayasanada Nastana Varta Kridashana Digam Midhuni Bhuya Visraddo Charadur Vanarajashum. That they cannot do anything now on their own. Alone they can't do anything. Right. Everything together they'll do it. Prior they met each other, they did everything on their own. Now they are finding it difficult to do on their own. This is the problem. Right? So they eat together, sleep together, and wander around together, do everything together. This has happened, right? And in that way they lived happily. There is some happiness in that also. Krishna is not denying that. He says there is some happiness in that. So, for him, it's her. For her, it's him. It's required, right? So, in order to show to that how much they love each other, that's the 56th verse. Yam yam vanjati sa rajam tarpayanti anugambidaha tam tam samanayat kamam khashrena apyajitendriya. See, yam yam vanchati sa rajam tarpayanti anugambida tam tam samanayat kamam khashrena apyajitendriya. He said, unable to control himself because of his attraction for her, even sometimes she becomes very stubborn and demands something, it should be done this way, and this is all I will accept it. And when he says like that, he decides to fulfill that desire at any cost. He will go out, all the way out, to get her satisfied in that way. He will say in that way, but she will never say no to her and do everything what is to keep her happy. To keep her happy. In this way, time goes on quite some time, right? And they kept on living like this. The desire came up inside that we are only two now. And this living together, two of us now, for quite some time, that's not good enough. That there should be some more happiness in life. And that happiness will only come if we have children, babies, should be there. And that is what he is showing there. That yam yam vanchati sa rajam tarpayanti anikampitaha. So, once it so happened that Kapodi and Kapodam, Kapodi went to get food. Kapodi has to go out and get the food also. And Kapodam came. Kapodi received Kapodam very nicely. She received him very well. And she is expressing her desire to him. And she fed him nicely with very good prasadam and everything. So Kapodam was very happy. When Kapodam is in a good mood, Kapodi will say to Kapodam what she wants. Kapodis are very clever, and Kapodam also falls into it very quickly, into that trap. So you saw this in Bhagavatam how many times? Didi Devi did exactly the same thing to Kashyapa Prajapati. So between Kashyapa Prajapati and Didi Devi, if it can happen, what about us? Is there any surprise at all? So Didi Devi normally doesn't give much attention to Kashyapa Prajapati. But when Didi Devi wanted it, what she did was prepared fantastic prasadam and served him so well that Kashyapa Prajapati thought, what has happened to her? Why is she so nice to me today? And same thing Aditi did to. So it is through that service and shushrusha, they call it, and nice prasadam, everything, any man will fall to that. Man wants only these things. And if he gets it, he will do what you want him to do. And Didi was very expert at it. And when Didi Devi is said to him, to Kashyapa Prajapati, that I want a son who can kill Indra, that is when Kashyapa Prajapati got the shock of his life. His own wife, Aditi and Didi both, he is asking, one wife is saying, I want a son to kill the son from the other wife. And that is where Kashyapa Prajapati says, Aho Mayabalam Vishnu. So we all must be saying the same thing in life, Aho Mayabalam Vishnu. How we all got trapped in this life in this way, what is spoken here. Lesson is important because, you see, all these things are important for a person who is advancing in spiritual life. It's not for ordinary people, these new messages. No, not to mistake it. Ordinary people, what we call, who are working in this world and want and happy with this way of life and who are satisfied with this happiness from this world. These things don't apply to them. This is for those who wants to get free from the cycle of birth and death. Krishna is saying all these things. That is why this, when you study these 24 spiritual masters, you have to remember this, that you don't go and apply these to everybody in the world. That will be wrong, because it doesn't apply to them. Ordinary people doesn't apply. It applies to those who have got vairagyam, who are virakti, who have got some knowledge of spiritual life and who wants to advance in the path of spiritual life. It is for them this is spoken, exclusively for them. And therefore this becomes matters, these things are matters to them. So he says to them that she served him well, and Kapodi says to him, to Kapodam, you are going to be a daddy soon. We are reading this and we are laughing. Why are we laughing? Because this is what has happened in our own life, isn't it? Great happiness at home. Big happiness, right? Kapotam is happy, he's going to be a daddy. Kapoti is happy, because he's going to have babies. And then, together as a family, fantastic, blissful life, he's saying. So, Kapotam says, now, that attachment, how it's coming out? He says, you shouldn't be working hard anymore like this. You should stay home, because you are now carrying the baby, and therefore, in future, earning is my problem. Earning the livelihood. Breadwinner. I'll be the breadwinner. Both of us don't have to go. You stay home. I will make sure that everybody is fed. And then from tomorrow onwards, I will be going out to earn the living. You don't have to worry about it. Right? So, tell me whatever you want. I don't need anything. She says to him, I don't need anything. All I need is you should be by my side all the time. That's from her side. She's saying that you should be with me all the time. That's all what I want. Otherwise, I don't need anything, right? So, some time goes like that. And they're thinking like that. What's going to be the child, first child who's going to come out? It's a boy or a girl? And what should we name him? All discussions goes on between what should we name him, how should we educate him, should we make him a sannyasi, or should we make him a pure devotee, or should we make him a brahmachari, or all sorts. Devotees will be discussing all these things. Non-devotees will be discussing which private school should be sent to him, or what kind of education should we give him, and other things. A different world they live, so they discuss different things also. And in that way, both of them are dreaming their life and living their dream. Gradually, the time has come. The eggs are broke open, and from there, these beautiful chicks have come out from that. You should have looked at Kapotam and Kapoti that day. When they have come out, he says, that's the verse 59 and 60. You see, he's saying here, Prajap Bushadu Pridav Dambadi Putravalsalav Shrunandav Kujidam Tasam Nurvrudav Kalabhashide. Tasam padatray susparshay kuchider mukda cheshtide pratyugdamai radinanam pidarav mudavapadu. Even though this whole story is in the form of Kapotam and Kapoti, you wonder how did Sri Shiva Brahmarshi knew about the householder so nicely, what they are doing at home. How did he know this? Sri Shiva Brahmarshi is a sannyasi. Sarvabhuta Hridayam Munimana Tosmi. And Yam Pravrajandam left home. When Vedavyasa Maharshi called him back, the trees and the plants and everything replied back. They asked him like that. Yam Pravrajandam Anubedam Apeta Kritiam. Even the purificatory ceremonies were not performed by Shiva Brahmarshi. That's how he walked out from home, because of self-realization. And such a person is saying householder life like this. Well, how did he get this knowledge? Yam, if you remember that verse, Yam Pravrajandam Anupetam Apeta Kritiam Dvaipayano Virahakatarama Juhavam Dvaipayanam. Vedavyasa Maharshi, if he says something, we can understand, because he was a householder. He got married, he had a son was born, so naturally he will have some experience of householder life. But Shuga Brahmarshi, who had no experience of householder life, as soon as he came out from the womb, he walked out from there. And Vedavyasa is calling him back, Putra, 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 he was calling him back. He didn't even turn back. The trees and plants have answered back. And Vedavyasa understood there is no point in talking to my son. He's not going to answer anything. Because his consciousness was in such a state that he doesn't see anything here except Brahman. Brahman realization, to such a high level of Brahman realization. Yeah? So that is what he is saying here. These two verses he is saying that how nice it is to watch these children growing up, small ones, right? And when you see small babies, why do we feel attracted to them? It is another manifestation of Krishna's power in them. That's what is attracting us. We don't see Krishna's hands in that. That beauty of that childhood and the nature of that child, the child's different behavior attracts others because of Krishna has put that into them to get attracted by the parents. Otherwise parents won't look after them. It is that pleasure that's coming from that child is motivating the parents to go to work, to earn money, to maintain home and to look after the children. Otherwise it won't happen. So Krishna puts this into the children in that way. Right. So so what happened was that they started thinking that this is Krishna's creations, one aspect of that, this children form, baby form. Right? So, and the sound they make, the babies, how they make the sound, and the way they speak, all this becomes attractive to the parents. They get attracted by that, how they speak. And you keep looking at them, the way they speak and the way they behave, everything, right? So they lived like this for some time, listening to the their sound vibrations they create, right? When this happened, the next thing what they felt was, it's not good to be like this, one family living like this. We should have some socializing also. So he looked at the other cages in the next tree. There was another one like this. Couples living like this. So at that time they felt that, oh, they are there also like us. Another family is living there. What is the next thing? We should have a birthday party, shouldn't we? So that is the next step in this. So, birthday party. So, invited them and they came here, sang happy birthday to you and everything, they sang, and along with that they congratulated each other for their birth, and they were all doing, and so birthday parties were going on for a few years between the children and children's celebration. The parents were feeling chuffed with all this, what was happening, right? So so they were talking to each other, pointing at the children. The wife is saying to the husband, look at his eyes, the baby's eyes, exactly like yours, he says. So the husband is saying, no, the nose is like yours, he says. So like this, they are comparing the body with each other, and they're pointing out all these things, and even the board has changed the house. It has become home, has become home, sweet home, has come become like that. So much happiness in the house. So, and the love between the male and the female bird, and the attachment for the parents to the children. If you look at the family, very ideal family life. All happy together. All happy together. Time passed on, and one day, Kapoti says to Kapotam, right, you are going every day on your own to get the food, isn't it? And we are sitting at home, and evening we receive you, and we are more people now in the family, and it's not good enough you go alone, because you will get tired. How long can you do this? So it's so important that we work together in this, acquiring the food, right? So the morning, she said, I will also start going out for getting food. Not you alone do it. Together we will do it. He says to her, she says to him, actually she says to him this. He was doing it all alone, but now she started feeling that if you do like this on your own, that we are going to be in trouble, because if anything happens to you, then what will happen to us? So it's important that I also help you. I'll bring something for this. And saying that, when the male, the husband went in the morning, the wife also fed the babies, and she also left to get food. So two are going out now. Two income in the family now. So, and she fed them and gone to make sure that till she comes back, that she, nobody can, because the babies are on their own, left alone, isn't it? So, and she came back early, because she's always thinking about them, about the babies. And so she came back, and after some time he also came back, right? And they will eat together only when they are all back, together back, and they all sit together and they'll have meal together. And then they looked at their income, daily income, whether it was how much they earn, how much they spend, balancing the budget, and keeping how safe they are, secure financially, everything, all these aspects were all... This is the only discussion going on at home. Financial side of it, and the happiness of the husband, wife and the children, and this way household life goes on. Krishna is not very happy about this. Krishna is saying, they don't have a minute to think about what is waiting for them at the end, right? So, then he says here that they said, decided that this accommodation what we have is not big enough. It needs to be made a little bigger than this. Because the family is growing, children are growing, and we can't live in this accommodation. So, they started drawing the plans to expanding the cage, right? Plus, they thought that the children should be brought up nicely. It's no point in giving them any kind of education. Better to give them some private education. So they started thinking in this way, the mind is going different like that. And all these are dreaming, going through their dreams in their mind, both the husband and the wife. And they are weaving a network of illusion around them. Krishna says like that. You are building a network of illusion around you because you do all these things, at the end what happens is not in your control. Something else will come from behind without your knowledge one day. And that's the time, by then it is too late. How the illusion takes over in one's life and how it controls one's mind all the time. So this is called the daydreaming, manorajyam it is, right? So meanwhile what was happening is the needs are going up, because when you were alone you could live simply somewhere, but now with the family the needs have increased. So many things have come. You need holidays, you need so many gadgets at home, and then your family needs are increasing, means that in different ways it goes up. Right? Means that Krishna is saying desires have gone up, in other words, right? So only the problem is that 24 hours the mind is absorbed in this, nothing else, in fulfilling all these desires inside. And the babies, they haven't got their wings yet, they are still there, right? So therefore they leave them in the cage and then they go to collect the food. Both the Kapodam and Kapodi goes away during the day. Krishna says, in one instance, they went like this, together, husband and the wife, right? By chance, a hunter came that way, one day. A hunter came that way, and he saw these babies there, and he put the net on that babies, right? And babies won't sit quietly in their cage. They will try to come out and looking at the world outside, what's going on outside, they want to find out. So they were making the sound, the beautiful sound they make, and the hunter was very clever. Baby is waiting for the mother to come back. So what the hunter does, he makes the sound of the mother from outside. He knows all these things, isn't it? He makes the sound of the hunter, of the mother, and the babies comes out from the cage looking for the mother, looking for the mother. They don't even have the wings to fly, right? So because they can't fly anymore, they come out from the cage and looks around everywhere, and straight away he put the net on them and they fall into the net, right? After some time they are in the net, the mother comes, right? And mother has got the food in the beak. Mother's got the food, right? So, but mother is thinking in her mind, I got a little late today. The babies must be starving. I've not fed them yet. Mother's concern is always this, isn't it? That I've not fed my children. This is the only thing in all species. It happens. This thought will be there. If it's some other, this will be there. Nature's creation is like that. Right? So, she was flying very fast to get back home to feed the babies. Look at the verses 65 and 66. Kapoti swalpajan vikshya balagan jalasam pradhan tanabhyadaval kroshandi kroshando brishadukhidaha swasakral snehagunida dina jitta jamayaya swayam jabadhyada shicha vidhavan pashyant apasmrati. 65 and 66 are the two verses of Kapoti coming back after her daily work, and then what she experienced when she got back from there, right? So he says, first thing what he says here, Jala Samvratan. You see there the word Jala Samvratan, caught up in that net, yeah. But more than that, he'll say, Maya's net. He uses the word there in the 66. Dina chitta cha mayaya. Maya's net has become strong. The Maya's net. This attachment is what Krishna is talking about. That mother is feeling so strongly for her that she was affected by Maya. And due to that Maya, when she came here, what has she seen? These babies in the net. This is what she has seen, right? As soon as she saw that, imagine her situation. Yeah? Imagine her situation. That she thought then, what is life for me now left? This is the first thought came up in her mind. What's life for me now in this world? They're gone. They're going now. I'm finished with this, right? It didn't take very long for her to decide what to do. Because of Maya. He says it very clearly, he says, Dina Chittaja Maya. Due to the power of that Maya, she couldn't even think what to do in life. That to just to show to us how if the attachment is very strong, you can't even Tattvajnanam won't work. Even if you have knowledge, the knowledge, sometimes this attachment will override the knowledge. And that is what we have to be careful about. Even though you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and so many things from the Bhagavatam, even though all the knowledge is inside, if the attachment is very strong, that attachment will override the knowledge. And then suffering has to come from that. And that's what, this is one of that strongest attachment in the mother's mind going through about the babies. Why should I live in this world? What is there in life for me? And that exactly what Krishna is going to condemn later. If a person has thought like that, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, is there anything worse than this for a person to happen? Why is Krishna saying that? Krishna is saying for only one reason. He said, if you come to spiritual life, and want to have knowledge inside working, you have to guard against all this kind of problems developing inside. Because this is a subtle level it is happening, this attachment tightening you. And if that attachment is very strong, you can see how difficult it is. It is very difficult it's unsurmountable to come over this attachment inside, especially with one's own children. It's so strong, deep inside. So, that is why he uses this word here, that she thinks like this, that she has forgotten, Krishna says, she has forgotten the goal of life, first of all. And due to this powerful Maya, and due to this strong attachment, only the attachment is binding them together like this, and unable to recognize it. She is not able to recognize it. She started crying. The mother started crying and thinking that everything for me in my life is these children, and jumped into that net. Jumped into the net. Doesn't matter. I'm going to be in the net and I'm going to be eaten away by the hunter. Doesn't matter. At least I'll die with my children. Krishna says, is there anything worse than this to happen to a jiva? Somehow things, you know, you may not agree with Krishna in everything, what he is saying. Most of the people will find it, if you say this to the world outside, nobody will agree with it. But Krishna is saying to us, if you want to realize the truth, this is the price you have to pay. There is no alternative to it. Till all these obstacles are cleared from inside, it is not possible to understand what the soul is. Realizing soul, that knowledge is such a thing, then avidya, in avidya you are trying to get the knowledge. And we are discussing all this sitting inside avidya. And because avidya is so strong inside, it won't easily give way to knowledge. It's not going to give way. That's why vairagyam is such a powerful thing. What you learn from Bhagavatam is that without vairagyam, jnanam won't work in anybody. Jnanam gets his strength from vairagyam. That's why jnana vairagyam or children of bhakti, it says like that. Is it not? When you go to very higher level of bhakti, these two will be very strong in a person. Jnanam and vairagyam. So, what happened now was that she jumped into the net, and after some time the husband comes. Husband comes, he was thinking, my wife must be feeding them. When he is coming, this is what he is thinking. She must be feeding them. Because 24 hours, both husband and wife is absorbed in this. Nothing else. Except looking after these babies and keeping the family scene going. Family scene going. Right. So, so today, husband has brought something as a surprise gift for her and for the babies. Sometimes husbands try to please them like that. Something new they have found in the market, some sweets or something else to keep them happy. He has brought them all. But he couldn't bring it before. He couldn't buy it before or whatever it is. And he was bringing, because he has got this gift with him to present it to them, he is coming flying fast to meet them and everything. When he got here, what did he see? Kapotam? Kapotam has seen this, right? His wife, and who is very dear to him. More than that, the children, who is much more dear to him. As good as his own life. He is looking at all of them, and then they are all inside this net. They are all inside this net. And then he started crying. Who? The male. The husband started crying. And he is crying and he is thinking also. Crying and thinking, right? Is destiny so cruel? Or the fate? Is it so cruel, right? And look at my situation. He is saying this, right? And I had lived only few years with them and I'm still not satisfied. I would like to live like this for a long period of time. He knows that it is going to end one day. But what he is saying is that I could have lived a little more time like this. That attachment inside is dictating from this. So he is saying like this, he said, I know that I have to die one day, they also will die one day, they will also grow up. But at least I could have spent some more time with them in the way it is, right? Because I still have some desires with them. And why? And he's saying to them that desires have not gone yet from inside. Yes, gone from inside. Why am I being separated from the rest? Why I am alone being separated from the rest? This is what he thought. Kapodam's thinking, he's poking. That's what it's saying there, you see. Kapodam alpajan baddhan alpanopyadhigan priyan bhairyam chalpasamam dhino vilalapadi dukhidaham ahome pashyatobaya alpavunyasya durmate. He's cursing himself about everything what has happened. He's cursing himself. He says, pashyatobaya alpavunyasya durmate adripta sagradartasya grihastraivargiyo hata. Some of the words he has used here, if you look at that, he says, atruttasya, I'm not satisfied yet in my householder life. And agradartasya, I don't have any total peace inside. Kritarthata is not there. Because you're supposed to get some satisfaction at the end of household life. Oh, I had a good household life, that's it now. I'm not in that state yet. And normally it doesn't happen. I had enough and I'm moving on. So he says, adruttasya, agridharthasya. Then he says, grihas trivargigo, trivargigo hata. He says, this grihastha ashramam is meant for trivargam, dharmartha kamam. Everything has to be filled in this household or ashram. And that also has not happened. So he is blaming everything, that things have not worked out according to his plan, he says, yeah. And he says, and then he's thinking about her. He says, my wife was very nice person, very favorable always, and with all good qualities. He can only see her good qualities at that time, and how favorable she was in household life, right? And not only that, she has served me so nicely throughout life, and plus all these children we had together. And what a beautiful life it was. And the children were started by now calling daddy, daddy. The children were calling. So that was also giving happiness. You can imagine that scene. Anybody can imagine together how you will forget the rest of the world. That you are a world of your own living in that. He says, and then he says, why did destiny do, why destiny have come and broken this whole thing? Collapsed, right? So, Kapodam thought about that. And if they all have gone, then what is left in my cage? In my cage, who is there if they have gone? Right? So, it will be, wife is dead, gone, children are gone, and what am I supposed to do? Right? And he kept on thinking this, because man takes a little time to make the decision what to do. So, women you can see here, straight away due to attachment, jumped in. For them, for her, everything that matters is the children. For the father, he is thinking that my happiness is finished now. What do I have in this cage? He is thinking a little differently. He is taking little time to make the decisions, right? So, Krishna is saying, Kapodam, thinking all these things due to influence of that Maya, power of Maya, and due to that attachment, he thought, what's the point in living like this? He also jumps into the same net. What the hunter is standing there far away and watching, because he knows they'll come one after the other, and they will all jump into the same net, because he wants to go home with everything, the whole catch. He wants to have it. So, the hunter says, he collected, he is not bothered whether he is happy or not. He doesn't think like that. He got the whole thing, what he wanted, collected them all together, and he went home. Happily he left. Right? Brahmana is saying here, means the Dattatreya is saying here, that asking us also to think about life. To think about life. He is saying, Kapodam was alone first. Right? Then, was he not happy then? He was happy, but then she came into his life. Right? So, he started thinking that because she is there, I am getting happiness from her association. Right? So, my happiness has gone up due to her presence. Right? And then he started thinking, if she leaves me, I won't be happy in life. Initially, she wasn't there. He was happy on his own. But then, when she came, he started thinking, see how the mind works. This is the important thing to know. Soul has nothing to do with anything. This is all in the mind, these changes are happening. The mind is thinking that because she had come, I'm more happy in that way. Right? Then after some time, some other people had come, who? The children. They've all come. Again, he is thinking, I become more happy now with the arrival of these children. Right? He is never thinking, Krishna says, that they will all go like the way they have come. He is not thinking that at any time. He is always thinking that only who, they is taking into account all those who are coming in to the join, right? Now, he is saying that he is not happy, he is not satisfied being alone. Earlier he was on his own and he was happy and satisfied. But now, He is feeling that he is not happy, he is not satisfied when they are leaving, right? So, that is when Krishna is saying there, because this, if you go verse by verse, there's a lot in there, you know, make much more in detail. But here Krishna is saying ultimately that everybody should realize this coming going in life is all one's karma. Prarabdham is bringing people into your life and prarabdham is taking it away when it's over. That's all what it is do. It is happening. If you forget that principle, that prarabdham has brought some connection with somebody in previous life, what don't know what it is, we don't have the detailed account of all that, but there is a connection between two souls to come together due to some reason, some accounts that was not settled in the past. To settle those accounts, they have to come together, and in that prarabdham is always like that. There will be two people involved. It's not one person alone happening. Most of the prarabdham, there will be two people. With another person through whom you have to get some happiness or distress, and similarly you will be responsible for that person's happiness or distress. So both the things happened. And in that process, all the attachment builds up. All the attachment builds up. Everybody who is around us in our life, we develop attachment in some form or the other. And when that body or that person body gets destroyed, at that time I start thinking, how will I live without that person? I start thinking like that. Oh, he died, what will happen to me? You are not seeing actually the reality, Krishna is saying. That's why the two verses you see there, 73 and 74, Krishna closes that with that. Evam kudum vyashandalma dvandvarama pada trival pushnan kudumbam kribana sanubandovasitadi yaprapyamanusham lokam muktidvarama pavratam griheshu khakaval sattam tamaruda chudam vidu. These two verses are the message in this Kapotam story. The message is these two verses. Evam kudumbi ashandalpa dvandu arama pada trival pushnan kudumbam kripana sanubandovasi dadi. Just like these birds, if affected by the happiness and distress, both are dvandvam, duality. Happiness and distress is duality. In there, if it is affecting you, in your happiness and distress, and due to that, once dvandvam comes inside, the mind is disturbed. Mind is disturbed. And in that process, due to the kudumbi means householder, in order to protect the wife and the children, he tries very hard, thinking that somehow he will do everything he can to keep that family situation going. And in that process, he himself goes from this world. And then Krishna is saying, yaprapya manusham lokam muktidvaram apavratam griheshu khakaval sattam tamaruda chudam vidu. He says, after saying verse 73, what you have to notice is this, that every householder is on 73. 73 verse is householder, normally, right? So, as a Kapotam bird, he can only realize this far. He can't go beyond than this. Kapotam can only realize 73. Man can realize 74 if he wants it. That's how Krishna puts it. 74, because any animal or a bird can only think in like 73, verse 73. Evam kudumbya shandalpa dvandvarama padatrival pushnan kudumbam kravana sanibandhav sitadi. That is the situation of any living entity except human being. For the human being, 74 applies. And that is what Krishna steps in and says this to Uddhava, says to him that why is he not able to realize it properly? Animals cannot, man can, he says. Man means man and woman can realize this. So without knowing this difference between animals and the human being, without realizing this, you hear anything in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the soul, it is not going to help. It's not going to help. So this is a requirement. You will see this. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also the same way. The way Krishna puts things is like this, that you have to look at Krishna's time in this world also, how he dealt with people. He will always say to them, look, the reality is the soul, nothing else. And if you don't rise up to that level, nothing can be done, you suffer. That's all. That's the way Krishna... But Krishna says in such a way that if you don't accept what he is saying, then the knowledge what Krishna is giving to the world, it won't have any impact on us. That is the problem. So therefore he is saying here that you can hear about the soul as much as you like from Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, everything. A lot you can hear about the soul. But you have to know first thing that it is only in this human body it is possible to realize it. In animals cannot realize it, or birds cannot realize it. In any other species it's not possible. So we have to realize that only, that's why I said, Manishyatvam, Mumukshatvam, Mahapurusha Samshraya. First of all, a human body is required to realize it. In no other body it is possible. And in that human body, you have to get this Mumukshatvam there, the desire for liberation, and then the association of the Mahatmas, all these things together, right? So, here, these things, this thing what Krishna is saying here, is not accepted by people. They'll hear so many times, they hear Srimad Bhagavatam, or from reading the Bhagavatam, but still, it's not going in. It's not going in, right? So, any amount of time you hear this Kapodam story with the Kapodi, still we are not able to connect that with our life. In our life also this will happen one day. It happens because all the time it's happening in this world, in everybody's life. One day you see yourself that everything what you have planned and built up all going to collapse one day. It's not going to stay there like that. Whole thing will, it will be forcefully dismantled by the nature. So Krishna is saying that, why man is not able to see it earlier than that and recognize it? He doesn't, he says. So therefore, we are not connecting this with our life in this world. That is the main problem. We are not connecting it, right? So, nowhere it is said that if somebody leaves you that you have to cry whole life. Nobody said like that, right? So, the reason why you are crying is that in your own mind you have thought that he is not going to leave me, he is going to stay with me forever. This was in the mind. Somehow or the other, it got deep-rooted inside. So, they are thinking that at least the time we are together, why don't we live happily? And at the time when the role is finished, we'll all go in our own way. So, any amount, if you think about this, you won't be, when the role is finished, when our role in life is over, we will go. There's nothing you can do about it. And you can jump up and down and do whatever you like, you cannot change it. That's the reality of the situation, right? You can see many, many extents what you hear in life. You know, it happens in family life. So many things happens in people's life, right? So, and we hear all that. And nobody knows who will leave you when in life. That is also not... nobody gives you an advance warning that this person will stay with you only so much time. After that he will go. These things are never spoken before, right? So, everybody, we have to always be conscious that we have all come to this world alone, on our own, right? And we will leave this world also alone. And only thing is, during the time here, some people have come into your life, and they stayed some time, and they have gone, right? Or, rather than saying gone, means they have walked away from the scene, from your life, right? So, but to that extent, when they were with you, the thoughts about them has gone inside us to a much deeper level, right? Due to that association, each other. And in that way, we came into bondage. And then you started thinking, me and my people, my family, my friends, my society, and my happiness, sense enjoyment, everything is become like this. And it is hitting this, is the words in the Ekadasham. Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham sajane bandushu. You remember that verse? That is how Krishna began that, isn't it? Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham sajane bandushu. That's what is the first thing to be broken, Krishna is saying, if we want to progress in spiritual life. So, it's from there it's coming. Only then you can say that only this connection is broken, you can say, Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham sajane bandushu, right? So, that is where the difference is. But, after going through several bodies and several lifetimes, at one stage, we will all realize this. Don't think that we won't realize it. We will all realize it. But for some people, it will take longer time. Some people will see through these things early and they will realize it much earlier in life. They are the fortunate ones. But unfortunate ones will have to go through a few lifetimes to learn this lesson. They'll have to go through it heartbroken, then come back and they'll start again attachment, build up, and again heartbroken, again attachment, again heartbroken. Like that many times when it happens, he starts realizing that this is not the way to be. And he will start changing. So ultimately it will happen, but for some people it can happen early. He will break the connection. Everybody will do. Ultimately everyone knows that this is not going to work. This is not a permanent setup, right? And then the right time comes. You see, Bharata Maharshi, Bharata Yogeshwara, Jalabharata, he left it, isn't it? But again, unfortunately, Bharata got attached to the deer. He got attached to the deer, and due to that attachment, he had to come back again. You see? So this is how our life also. We have developed attachment means more life is already in plan. Planning has happened already for more lifetimes to come back here. And to settle the accounts, you may have to come back again, right? So, for many people, this, if you look at everybody, that's how we have all come back again and again here. The whole setup is like that. This karma mandalam, the field of karma, in which we are rotating like this. Any acharya you ask, whether Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will all say exactly the same thing, because this is the conclusion of the rishis. That this field of karma is such that you go through this cycle again and again and again, go on doing the same thing and suffer from that, right? So as soon as you're born, then you got a father and mother, straight away started there, and then brothers, sisters and friends. So all these people, husband, wife, parents, brothers, sisters, they all come in this life, in our life, to teach us some lesson. That's what they have come for. You are thinking that, oh, they are my, you are looking at them through the body, isn't it? We are looking at them through the body. But actually they have come into our life, they have something to teach us through their prarabdham and our prarabdham. And teach us through that, because our karma bhalam, for what we have done in the past, in order that to experience and mature, they have become as the cause and they have come in our life. Who is thinking like this in life? Tell me, who thinks like this in life? Even if you tell them that they have come as a cause to complete your karma cycle, they have come in your life and they are playing that role, only in subtle level rishis understand this. They have told us, this is what this relationship means. Any family relationship, friends and all, they have come in their life, there is some prarabdham between two of us. And therefore, to complete it, they have come as a nimittam. Nimittam means just as a cause only. They are not responsible for that. You are meant to have some suffering in life. For that, it has to happen in this way. And they have also some suffering from you to hand over back. And you know, what happened was, Pandavas and Krishna was once walking in the forest. Yeah. So, they were walking together. And out of the Pandavas, Sahadeva is considered to be the most intelligent one. He's a jnani. Who? Sahadeva, right? Arjuna is the best archer. Yudhishthira is based on dharma. Bhima is very strong and everything. But Sahadeva is considered to be the most intelligent of all. You will see this in several instances in the Mahabharatam. Sahadeva is glorified for his intelligence. He will see things way beyond other Pandavas could see things. So in one instance what happened was that they saw something happening in the forest. And they noticed something happened in the forest and they asked Krishna, why is this happening? One animal was eating another animal or something like that happened. Krishna says, it's not so important. Why do you have to worry about it? He is eating his food. The other was supposed to be eating food. And he is eating his food, he said. So, Arjuna, I think, has asked this question to Krishna, that you are telling us all the time that this karma, how it works and how the suffering comes from the karma and all. Now, this poor creature, what has it done? And why did the other one come and attack that creature and eat them like this? Take it for example, a deer and a tiger or something like that, right? Krishna says, if I tell you, you won't understand because you will want to know every case how it happened. Then I won't be sitting here for every living entity, what's happening in their life. If I had to give an explanation, it won't be possible. But let me tell you something, he said to Arjuna and Sahadeva. Sahadeva understood the answer very well. Krishna says, you can ask Sahadeva or I'll tell you, he said. What did he say? Krishna says to him, look, there's a bunch of cows, they are grazing there, right? And their calves are standing here. They're separated from the cows, right? The moment you allow the calves to go and meet their cows, all the cows are looking alike, all the calves are also looking very similar in appearance, bodily features, everything. But the moment you let them go, each and every calf will know who its mother is. You don't have to tell the calf they will all run together and they will go accordingly to their mother only. Karmam follows in the same way, Krishna said. Karmam knows who to follow, where to follow, and whom to follow. Everything karmam, the system is set up like that. If from this example, if you understand that calf was not taught anything, who the mother, so many cows all looking the same. But this particular calf knows who the mother is, whom to run to for the milk. In the same way, karmam knows whom to cashew, when, where, and how. Who knows all these things? Only the rishis knew these things. Rishis knows these things. It's in the Vedam. It's in the Upanishads. It's everywhere. So this is why I'm saying that you can't write off all these things and simply think on a gross level all the time. Everything happening in the life, we say by accident. Nothing is happening by accident. Everything is happening based on karma. That is why out of the five things in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna spoke about, you remember? Material nature, prakriti, maya, jiva, karmam, time, and five things he spoke, isn't it? Jiva. So, all these five things, if you look, karmam has a equally prominent role in everything. Nothing happens in this life, accident. Nothing is happening without a reason behind it. This understanding has to be there. If something is happening in life, in our own life, you have to think that I have given trouble to somebody and it's coming back to me. And to accept it that way. And that is why he is saying here all these things that nimittam, nimittam. This is why it's called a nimittam. So husband, wife, children, all this has come as nimittam to complete our prarabdham. Prarabdham that way. So, so whether it is in the same way happiness also, not only distress, happiness also. they have come to give us some happiness sometimes, right? After, once that is done, they will go. And there is no more. So, once you have recognized this, that every body has an expiry date. Every body has an expiry date. If you have realized these things, then there is no problem after that. You can then tondu sarvam paritejas neham sajana bandushu gam vijaraso gam. You can have it. Freely you can walk in this world, not disturbed by anything. Otherwise, it will be a problem, right? So, now, the same thing, in Chitragedu's story, this will be spoken. You remember in the sixth canto, Chitragedu's story, right? So, there Siddhartha Maharshi and Angiras said to Chitragedu, in this journey of the Jiva, he is going from one body to another, he will meet up with so many people in that process. And you meet each other, and that is the problem. You are meeting up with people, right? So, but if everybody remembers that they are on their own, and they have come on their own, and they will leave on their own, then there won't be any problem. This meeting others is the problem. Once you meet up means you are developing some karma from that. Vasanas will develop, karma will develop from that. And from that, all the problems will follow. You are actually sowing the seed for more lifetimes afterwards, right? So, in that process, sometimes some people you get attached to them and you bind them with love, and both of the people start feeling not to break that connection. They want to live forever. And this life is like a bus journey, they say. It's like a bus journey. You go to the bus stop, you meet some people there, and you sit in the bus. Sometimes you chat with them, if you are familiar with them or something. When their stop comes, they get down and they go. And you continue your journey. Or sometimes you get down from the bus, when your stop comes, they continue in the bus. That's all it is, this life here. We meet people, they are with you for some time, and then they go, or you go, and that's finished. Everything is over, right? So, here, so, when we are traveling in the bus, we are very conscious that the stop is coming, either my stop or their stop, and they will get down, right? No, we didn't get into the bus together, and we won't get out of the bus together. Chances are that separately, right? When everybody gets on from the bus at the end, at the terminal, right? They are looking at each other when they are coming out of the bus. When you say, for example, you get into the Wat Pho town center, 602 stops there at the end. And driver says, that's it. Everybody has to get down. So while getting out of the bus, you are looking at each other. And then you are walking. Somebody goes into Watford, or somebody goes somewhere else, Harlequin or somewhere else, bus station or wherever they want to go, they go there, right? So, again, you don't go together anymore. You may not see them anymore at that time. And if you say to another passenger who has traveled with you in the bus, come with me, I'm going here, you come with me. He says, no, I got other business. I have to buy vegetables. I'm going to the market. I'm going to get vegetables from there. He'll go his way. You go into Watford to Boots or something like that, some other shops, you're going in your own way, right? So, all these things are spoken here. Not Bhagavatam's intention is not to disturb our mind by saying all these things. What it's saying is, every jiva who has come has a goal to go to. Because my prarabdham, your prarabdham, his prarabdham is all different. And we are all in this process at different places. And we have to go in that direction only to complete my prarabdham. I have to go in a particular direction. He has to go in a different direction to complete his prarabdham. Somebody, in the same way within the family also, husband has to go in a particular way to complete his prarabdham. Wife has to go in another direction to complete her prarabdham. The children have to go in another direction to complete their prarabdham. So, hoping that we can all be together all the time is not possible. That is the only thing. So, because when the body was given, It's already decided how much time that body should stay in this world to finish this prarabdham. That is the important decision made already before. Before we take this birth in this body, that decision has been made. How long in this body I should stay here to complete my prarabdham. Each one of us mutually is just a nimitta, only a cause for that, right? For enjoying and suffering. That's all. So, therefore Krishna is saying, give up this attachment in this way and instead just to see the soul that is present in everyone, to fix more on the spiritual platform, to think that we are not this body, but actually it is the soul who is playing all these games in different forms in front of us, and that is where the attachment should be, Krishna says. The attachment should be to notice that the presence of the soul in everyone, and as we get attached to the soul, this ignorance will leave us, right? Then he says here, after getting this dress, means human form, after getting that, if you did not do it, if you didn't make it, then instead you thought that this happiness of the body and living with this life with the wife and children, and this is the actual proper life, and if you got that understanding in your mind, and if you live with that attachment whole life, even if you have reached a very high position in life, Krishna says, even if you have reached a very high, that's what you see there. Khagaval saktam tamarud achyudam vidu. That somebody who has jumped, gone very high in life, and he has jumped from that top position to the very bottom, he has fallen. Do you know what he is saying? Krishna is saying that suppose you have thought that in human life, what is given, that this attachment is everything, and you have developed strong attachment in the happiness of the family life, his situation will be in the future when he leaves this body. He's like a person who reached a very high level and then suddenly he jumped into the lowest species. And that's what will happen. You see, because of that attachment, you may have to accept a body in the very lowest level. It can happen because there is no vairagyam inside. And that is what he is saying. That last verse is the most important verse. Yam prapya manusham logam mukti dwaram abhavardam. Because in this human body, mukti dwaram abhavardam, it is a possibility that you can escape from this once for all. Don't have to come back and repeat this business again and again. Another schooling, another marriage, another children, another home hunting, and another pension, and all the normal things what one has to do in this world, not to repeat this. If this is all happening, if somebody is thinking like that, Krishna is saying what is waiting for him is really not going to be very pleasant. He was warning that, Tamaru Dachidam Vidu Uddhava, is there more greater foolishness than this for somebody who does that? So, one thing about Krishna is when he says something, he will only give examples in this world. He doesn't give us examples in the heavenly planets or the hellish planets. What's happening there? Always he will give examples from this world so that to make it easier for us to understand these things. So you can see here also when he says about father, mother, children and everything, how nicely Krishna has explained this attachment. And he is saying here that if you can, because only if you give examples like that, Krishna is expecting this, that the family members who have come in your life, one is supposed to see them, as he said in the Bhagavad Gita, that they have, Krishna has sent them here to me. My connection with them, but actually it is Krishna who has put that dress and come in front of me. If that way, if you relate with them, it is not troublesome. It won't cause any problem. But if we relate with them on the bodily platform, then you are in trouble. This is the reason why Krishna said, you remember, in the Bhagavad Gita also, What did he say? He said that I am the mother, father. What's that? He says that, isn't it? So, where does that come from? This is coming from that. This is supporting that one. Krishna is saying there that Gadir Bhartha Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sukhart Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. Is it not? So he says, he's saying there, what's in the words before that? When he said that what's the verse? Two verses are there. When he says Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sukhrat, friend and shelter, friend and husband, everything is me, Krishna is saying there. Similarly, Mata Pita, everything it's me. Is that verse is there. Pidaham asya jagato. Mada dhada pidamaha vedyam pavitram ongaram rikka samam yajurevaja. Gadir bharta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam sukharat prabhavam pralayasthanam nidhanam bijamavim. Everything is me, Krishna is saying. And that's exactly what Krishna is. If you, in that way, if you have a relationship with anybody, it's not harmful. It won't cause problems. Because Krishna has come in front of you in another form and Krishna has gone. That's all. But if on a bodily level, if any relationship is built up, then you can expect trouble later. That's what he's saying. So, that verse is there, and because what happens is, Krishna's point is this, instead of giving attention to this, when one develops attachment to family in the other way, then naturally, to maintain family, he will move away from the path of dharma. Adharmam will come. Wrong ways of making money and things like that, and thinking that, oh, I'm doing my family responsibility, I'm doing my duty, they'll say, and they'll start acquiring wealth in the wrong way to maintain the family. If he does that, when he leaves the body, there will be a lot of problems. He's warning like that, and this Kapodam's story is like that. He's saying here, you've got a human body and the door is open for you. Only in the human body this door is open. Brahmava Logadishanam Udamava Deva says later. That human form is the only possibility where you can inquire about the truth. Krishna consciousness is for human form, not for any other form. Right. So, actually, he says the door is open to go into the from the out of the cycle of birth and death, right? And Krishna saying, I have nothing else to say. I have nothing else to say. When Krishna says like this, you may get the feeling that Krishna is a little bit cruel saying like this, isn't it? But it is not cruelty. It's not cruelty, right? That's because our avidya inside is making us think like this, that Krishna is cruel, right? So, because in our life, education, job, a good place to live, and living an opulent life, marriage, children, grandchildren, and all these things have become priority. And therefore, when Krishna says something, it looks cruel to us. Because in our mind, we have built up so many concepts that the important things are job, education, money, a good home to live, children and grandchildren or whatever it is, in this way, a certain concept in our head. And therefore, when Krishna says these things, it's hurtful, because this doesn't agree with our way of thinking, right? And many people, that they live their life and eventually they die before they could complete their desires. Desires are unlimited, they will come one after the other. And most of the people leave this world before they could fulfill their desires completely, what they have thought about in their head. So, and we have to think, is life under their control? Do anybody has any control on their own life? Nobody has any control, right? So, So important thing to learn from this is there are certain secrets behind everything in life, what is happening in our life. There's some secret behind it, right? And that we have to recognize and we have to accept it. If we don't do it, simply going by the society, what society does, and thinking and suffering from that is meaningless. Krishna doesn't consider that person very intelligent. Krishna says, the secrets of life is what is revealed in these verses. The secret of life, the way things happen in life. And if we don't recognize that, that Bhagavatam, what it is does is teaching us that body will die one day, right? Give your attention to the soul. That's what Bhagavatam is mainly talking to us, isn't it? Everywhere. The message is very clear. Body is going to die one day and it will go. But your attention should be on the soul. And when he says like that, if I start thinking, will my daughter get married properly or son will get married? And if I'm thinking like that, if you will keep thinking in that way, then the mind will get absorbed in that. So that means that you are thinking about their marriage, then the grandchildren, whether they had the grandchildren or not, and all these things will take control of your mind. So no matter how many times Krishna spoke this in, Krishna says in a very, very, very condensed form. In one verse is what he has to say. Because this verse is actually Krishna's words it is. That is coming out to Uddhava. Is there anybody more stupid than a man who does this, he says. Impraapyam anisham logam muktidwaram abhavrutam griheshu khagaval saktam tamaru dachudam vidu. He said, so we are hearing Bhagavatam, right? While hearing Bhagavatam, we are thinking about the other things. So therefore, when we say Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade, it makes no difference to us. This is where we are at. When we say Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade, it makes no difference. We call him as Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. Because the reason for that is why we are not, it's not clicking for us. Many things in life is like that, especially in spiritual life. You keep on hearing for years and years something, but one day it clicks. Till it clicks, you don't appreciate what you are thinking about. It has to click one day. That may take different times for different people to click, right? So at that time you can see that when now you are hearing Brahmadi, Paramatmadi, Bhagavanadi, Shabdadi, but at the same time we are completely absorbed in the family life, family problems and other issues related to family, whatever that is. All this is inside and then we are hearing Brahmadi, Paramatmadi, Bhagavanadi, Shabdadi. So it makes no difference to us whether it is Brahma, Paramatma or Bhagavan, right? So, but to free ourselves from this bondage, right? This is a bondage inside, that you are caught up in all these things. And to get free from that, you need a bit of a luck. And when that luck happens, only then you will realize that it is worthwhile hearing what Bhagavatam is saying. Otherwise, till then, even the mind won't accept it. It won't accept it, right? So only when that luck happens, that is what we call it as Krishna's grace or Krishna's mercy, whichever way you want to call it. If that mercy or the grace comes, then naturally you will feel some importance to what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying. And you can see that in life when you tell people that Krishna consciousness is important, pleasing Krishna is important, Krishna alone knows the truth. And the knowledge only has to come from Krishna. There is no other source. We are in ignorance. All these things, if you tell an ordinary person, he won't understand it. He just cannot understand it. Why? The reason is this. Rishis have written this 5,000 years ago. At least Srimad Bhagavatam, if you take. 5,000 years ago, they knew all these things about life. They are the people who understood this life better than anybody. And therefore, they wrote it down and left it for us. If you want to understand life, study Bhagavatam. But we won't hear this. Even though books are there and it is presented to us, still our mind is not accepting it. Mind is busy with all the other things in this world, right? So, then we are thinking that if I have any problem in my family life, if there is a problem, Krishna should sort it out. And then we go to him for that. Unfortunately, that is how we were trained and we are used to thinking about life in this way, right? And then we'll think, oh, the children should be happy, they should live long, and they should be happy in their life. In this way process, the relationship with Krishna is always on this platform. That's why Krishna said in the beginning, what did he say? Vishayalpanam. We are all in that category, Vishayalpanam. And therefore, for Vishayalpanam, it is difficult. And at that situation, if you tell that person, Muktihi tanyatharupam surubena vyavasthiti, you say this to him, he is saying, what are you talking about? I am in my surubam at the moment, comfortably situated in fact. I am a married man, I got my wife, I got my children, I got my home, everything is going nicely. This is my surubam, I am fully happy with this, he says. So, when you look at them in their position, right, these things what Krishna is saying here is far, far away from them. Far away from them. But because of that, you should never think that there is no value to all these things, right? Purpose of human life is only one thing. It's showing us one thing only, that this is the true path one is supposed to go through in life and get out of this cycle of birth and death. If we have not succeeded in doing that, any other success in your life is all a failure as far as Krishna is concerned. That's the point, right? So, for life after life, when you keep going in this way, life after life, this is what's happening. Sometime in our life, in one life, due to some good vasana inside, it is at that time that your attention falls into these things. It doesn't happen so easily. You can see millions of people living in this world, but majority of them are happy with the way they are. To get our attention to this, and our attention to fall on to this, life after life, we have to go through. And during that cycle, in one life, due to some good vasana what we had got, that is when your attention comes into this. Otherwise it won't happen. Rishis knew all these things. They know very well that everybody is not going to take to this knowledge what they have given in this in Bhagavatam, right? So when you start giving your attention to this knowledge, what first happens to you is that you feel that you are alone in this world. That's the immediate effect. You start feeling that you are on your own in this world. Because till then you are thinking in terms of the family, friends, the society and everything, right? But even when you start thinking that you are on your own, that when you are still looking at others' life, and when you see that, and the suffering of other people who are going through that, you can see here, those experiences of those people and their suffering, that should encourage us and enthuse us who want to break away from this. For that purpose, you have to observe others and their suffering in this world. So, so this Kapodav story, through this story, this is what is being taught. That is the point Krishna is making. Kapodam did the wrong thing. That when he should have had that, that's what we are doing, that's what he's saying there. That we should see from that once you come to understand, initially what happens is, due to Krishna's grace, we get to know about this, what the rishis have told us. And when we start thinking that direction, gradually we feel we are on our own. There's nobody there to help you in this. Because nobody is there, you're on your own. Spiritual life, it's always like that, you're on your own. Okay, we will say for devotion, we have to associate and associate. But that association is also sense gratification in one way. Sometimes it ends up in socializing more than association. Association with knowledge and renunciation is good. But association with socializing is useless. It's only you have changed this club to another club. That's all. It is not helping very much. But the thing is that once you start realizing that in spiritual life you are on your own and you want to know the truth and you want to accept what Krishna is saying as a reality and you are progressing, and at that time you will see a lot of things happening around you, and from all of them you have to observe and learn these things. Like Kapodam mistake, what mistake Kapodam has done. Should I do the same mistake? That's what one has to think about. Yeah. So, and if you don't learn that, you will get trapped in that. You will also destroy yourself, he says. Whereas if you have realized it, that you have to separate from that, then according to your Purva Janma Samskaram, whatever Samskaram you have brought with you, accordingly, even though your destiny may force you to go in a particular direction, that will happen. That will still happen. Your destiny, your prarabdham will still come and push you into another direction. But if that happens, you will still come out of it. Why? That is what Bharata's story is teaching us. You remember? In Bharata's case, poor Bharata was a great personality, Rishabhadev's son, got a good training from home, became the emperor, gave up everything at the right time in life, performed sacrifices. He got purified because of the sacrifices. He got purified. Decided to give up everything, went into the forest. Near the Nepal, in Nepal, that's where he lived, Gandaki River. He performed penances, austerities heavily. And he should have finished with that and gone. But it didn't happen. Due to some Purva Janma Vasana, got attracted to this deer. And due to that, he had to accept a deer body. And in that dear body, the Purva Janma Smarana, the remembrance of the past life, came to him and helped him to realize that never to make this mistake again in the dear body. So that when he got his next life, he made sure that I will not make any connection with anyone in this world. So detached he was. That is why day one, Jatabharata was as he was. And the day he left, he was like the same thing. The only thing he took care of whole life was not to get attached anywhere. That's what Jatabharata did, right? So, if you look into the fifth canto, what Jatabharata has to say, that if you look at the fifth canto, Jatabharata comes all the time in Bhagavatam because he was an ideal person in all these things. And if you look into that fifth canto, Jatabharata had something to say to us. And in the 8th chapter, very clearly, openly he puts it in front of us. 26th verse, 5:8:26. It's a prose verse. Evam akhatamanam manoratha akulakhudayo mrigadaraga bhasena. Then he says, swarabdha karmana. Swarabdha karmana means prarabdha karma. Swarabdha karmana. Prarabdham has done this. Because of that, yoga arambhanado vibhramshida. I have fallen away from the yoga process. Sa yoga tapaso bhagavad aradhana lakshanacha katha midharatha jati andaram ena kunaga masangaha sakshal nishrayasa pratipakshadaya prak parityakta dustyaja hrudaya abhijadasya tasseivam andaraya vihatam yoga arambhanasya rajarshair bharatatavan mrida arbhaga poshana palana premana lalana anushangena viganayata almanam ahirivakubilam duradikramam kala karala rabhasa apadyata. If you understand that 26th, he says, he's saying that due to my manoratham, manoratham means all this illusion we build up in our mind, very distressed, right? But Mahatapasvi, Bharata was a very great tapasvi, means performed a lot of penances, right? That Bharata got, otherwise, why he got attracted to that deer, baby deer, right? Due to that prarabdha karma, this Bharata, he has given up his palace, a big family life, all facilities, and he has come to the forest giving up everything. And here he is getting attracted to a dear baby deer. Just see how it works, how it happens. And so he says here, then due to that prarabdha karma, he says swarabdha karma na, prarabdham it is, that prarabdha karma, I fell down from the yogic traditions, from the yoga process, right? Not only yoga process, even my service to Krishna. I've fallen away from that. Vibramshida, he says, Bhagavad Aradhana, everything, I've fallen away from that. And I gave up family life, my children, everything, because I was thinking they will be an obstacle in my self-realization. And here I am getting attached to a baby deer. He said, and how could this happen? He is asking this happen. How could this happen? So, and then, apart from that, due to that prarabdham, he has fallen away from that yoga bhrashta. That's called yoga bhrashta. That means from yoga process you have fallen away. And that emperor Bharata, Rajarshi, he says, he is getting attracted to a simple baby deer. And not only got attracted, he started thinking, if I don't look after this baby, who will look after this baby? These thoughts have come into him. Can you imagine? You see how things happen, how the illusion works. You gave up your attachment to your own children, grandchildren, family, everybody at home. And you said, this is all finished now for me. I am going to forest to realize the self. And he has come to the forest. And there he gets attached to this deer. Baby deer that too. And then he thought, what happened to him? He's thinking, if I don't look after this baby deer, who will look after the baby? Can you imagine how love works inside? That is called prarabdham. That's called prarabdham. Now, why it is important is that Bharata Maharshi was in Sattvagunam. Wasn't it? He is a tapasvi, performing penances. He is in pure Sattvagunam. But in spite of that, he was bound. So even Sattvagunam is bondage. Normally we think if he reaches, only thing is, in Sattvagunam you will get the clarity of illusion, about illusion. You will have the clarity. Maya, you will have some clarity about Maya. Rajogunam, Tamogunam, you can't expect anything to happen. You simply suffer. At least in Sattvagunam there is one good thing, that due to that Sattvagunam only he suffered. Why? Because this quality of compassion for another living being suffering is Sattvagunam it is in a person. To feel this helpless baby deer, to see that and wants to help that baby deer. Normally he should have picked it up from the water and left it in the forest to be cared for other deer, or if it was meant to die, it will die. He should have left it there, but he didn't. He made this mistake. If I don't look after this baby deer, who will look after the baby deer? That was the turning point. That bound him completely. That affection there. Because within a few days, he started looking at this baby deer. Its beauty, beautiful eyes, beautiful ears, and the way it comes and rubs its body on you. That was enough. With that, Bharata has fallen. Fell for that. And then he started hugging the baby and keeping it in the, trying to protect the baby, feeding the baby. Exactly like a householder, he started with the baby deer. So this is how subtle the knowledge is, isn't it? That affection and attachment can drag us down any time, in any stage. So he says here that when all these things are happening, a lot of things he says, poshana, palana, preenana, lalana. What he was doing with the deer. Poshanam, palanam, preenanam, lalanam. I think Shushuka Brahmarshi is not happy. He's so, he likes Bharata because he's there of the same nature. So when he's talking about Bharata, he really puts all his words into it. He says, he did not see. What did he not see? That how he was falling away from the self-realization. Instead of thinking about the self, and which is meant to do, what he was supposed to do, he couldn't spend his time that. Meanwhile, death has come. Nobody else can stop that death. It has come like the way he says, like the snakes go into the holes where the rats live. And they wait outside, and the rats know he's inside, they know that. Suddenly they go inside and catches the rat, and they live comfortably in the rat, in the hole. So this is how they live their life. So just like the snake comes, the rat is unaware that the snake is around. So it plays and enjoys its hole. Meanwhile, the snake comes and eats it. Similarly, death comes in our life also. And while we are busy with family life and sorting out this and sorting out that, comes and takes us away from here. We are gone with that. It's over. It's over. Krishna is saying that, this is what in that, yam prapya manusham logam muktidvaram abhavratam griheshu ghaval sattam tamarud achyudam vidum. And so that if you read that Bharata Yogeshwara story many times, and you connect this with the Dattatreya story, you'll find a lot of things are same, what they are saying each other. And he also mentioned there, that how attachment built up in Bharata. If you look that verse also, I'll mention and then we'll stop it. If you look into the 8th chapter, before saying this, he said in the 8th chapter, that if you look into the verse 11, that his attachment, how it was building up with the baby deer. He's saying that, the story, the mother died, the lion roared, and this pregnant deer, out of fear for the lion, jumped across the stream of where our Bharata Maharshi was chanting Gayatri in the water. So when the mother jumped over, out of fear, he delivered the baby. And the baby fell into the water. Mother got to the opposite side, and then suddenly died there itself. Out of the fear. This is a pregnant mother. And the baby is coming in the water. And Bharata is thinking, why did this happen in front of me? That means I'm supposed to be protecting that baby. You see how mind works behind? And it has come on the same side where I'm sitting. So that means definitely Krishna wants me to look after the baby. This is where the mind is interpreting all these things. So that's what in that verse there, you'll see there, 11th verse. Idi kridanushangam asana shayana adanasta nashana adishu nashana adishu saha mriga jahuna snehanu baddha hrudayam asit. The 11th verse in the 8th chapter. He says that because when I saw this baby, after that, while sitting, while sleeping, while eating, all the time, due to this attachment, my mind was completely gone. Lost it. Gone, attached to that, he says here. So, and then he said about that, prarabdha karmam, he mentioned prarabdham there. Prarabdha karmam, because of that, this, I had to move away from the path of truth, he said, realizing the truth. He said, I fell away from the path of self-realization, or realizing the truth. So here also you can see the same thing, that in that 52nd verse also he said, that's what he was saying, nadi sneha prasangova kartavya kvabi kena chit kuruvan vindela santapam kavoda ivadhinati. So here from that verse you have to realize this, not to have any attachment anywhere, right, to not to anybody or to any object, because all those bhavam, different bhavams, what you are seeing there, is not permanent. You are getting attached to one form, one person, in one form, in one particular situation. That's not permanent. That will change. That's the one to learn from this, he says. Then, and realizing this, you should be situated within the self, realizing who you are. That should be the important thing. And when you start realizing in all these changing forms outside, what is present in them, that is the same thing what is present inside me. But changes are happening externally. Inside there is no change. And only truth in all these things is Krishna, who is the Atma Swarupam, which is the Satya Swarupam, which is our Swarupam. In that way it should be realized, and that should be the attention. That is all this Kapodam has to teach us. Beautiful parts in the Bhagavatam, When you have time, if you take each one of these 24 spiritual masters and you keep reflecting this, you will get a lot of benefit from the spiritual side. Materially nothing, but spiritually you will feel a lot of relief from the world, from the sufferings of this world. And again, Krishna's grace is important than anything else. That's why bhakti is necessary to get that grace from Krishna. Krishna recognizes that you are serious about it. And then Krishna gives you all the necessary understanding. Understanding won't come otherwise. When Krishna gives you the understanding, only then you can act on that. You can change your life. When Krishna doesn't give you the understanding, simply hearing on an intellectual level and leaving it, it is not much of a help. But if that all brings vairagyam, virakti, which is strengthens knowledge, that's what vairagyam does. It strengthens knowledge inside. And to get that knowledge and realization inside, first thing is bhakti. That is why Krishna, that is why Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, in Bhagavatam, Shukha Brahmarshi is very open about it. He is saying that if you want all these things, you have to chant Hare Krishna as much as possible, because it is through chanting the holy name. He said, Yannamadheyam Riyamana Madhura. In the end you will say this, Patan Skalanva Vivashok Grinan Puman Vimukta Karmargala Uttamam Garim Prapno Diyakshanti Nadav Kalavjana. Till you chant Hare Krishna, and the more you chant, these impurities will go, mercy will come from Krishna, vairagyam will automatically come, and the proper knowledge will also work. Otherwise, it's not good. It's all connected together. Nothing is, you cannot choose here in anything. Everything is required. Bhakti is required, jnanam is required, vairagyam is required. Krishna, more than anything else, Krishna's mercy is required. Grace, what we call it. Combine the all together, you can advance in the spiritual life. So we'll see next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, they are not good.